December 2011 F-POM.
Hello. Who we got on the line?
Greg Moody.
Greg Moody. Hey, Greg.
Long is not coming.
Dan Setter.
And Ann. Hey, Ann.
Huh? Dave Settler.
Dave. Anybody else? All right. We're still waiting for a couple more to show up from downstairs, so I'm going to put you guys on hold and get started.
Tom's on his way over.
Okay, good.
Tom is on his way over. Well, well, well.
Once we get a start.
Statler, what's he calling in for?
That's right. Just getting that first nugget out.
Did you get it out? It's
got one out.
Yeah, they.
There will be a statement about lamprey.
I didn't grease.
You might have a new patch for the.
I don't know, but there's going to be a statement about lamprey somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I'm just curious where it is.
And you didn't know it, but we don't need to go epoxy. We just need to go fudgy, caramely. Back it is.
The marshmallow.
Just, yeah, it stuck to the bottom. It was loose last night.
It's so many uses.
Where it was loose last night.
Down there with a stack of marshmallows and a blowtorch.
Heavy duty.
You got to repair.
Heavy
duty. I had to melt it to get the marshmallow the cutter cream out, and then it re.
Oh, why don't you put that close to the carrier?
Yeah, he actually
likes
it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, get that
right in there, Trevor.
What have you done?
Get right in there.
You got a blackberry? Oh.
Is that your own personal knife?
Yeah,
right. That's a rhythmic problem. Yeah.
First time I've ever used it on anything. I'm working that with Rose. I killed enough a couple weeks ago.
I figure when I die,
I had this with me, but I actually thought to bring another knife, which I usually don't do. I usually have to use my pocket knife.
No.
No, it's a strike. Doesn't
matter to me. Just go fast.
Fun.
All right, what do we got here?
I don't know. By Lewis.
Yeah, I will. I was going to hold guns.
Did you hear about
Daryl?
Damn it.
No.
He died.
What?
He had serious cancer.
I didn't know he had cancer, but
Daryl kind of bred.
He went like three months, he was done.
Really?
Yeah, it was throughout his entire body.
Shoot.
Dang. All right. Anybody else down there you see coming in?
He's a good guy. I really like Daryl.
Talking to you, Dan.
Talking
to
you. Long, long
time.
Focus.
Not that I'm
well, he started in 19.
See Dave Wills.
He started in 80?
Yeah.
Oh, he retired. A long time ago.
He
went back to the Dells. And he was one of the few guys that would listen. One of the operators when I was out of Bonneville in the 80s. Mm-hmm. He'd harass me, but he'd listen.
He had his opinions,
but he was open to.
Yeah, no, I really liked Daryl. He was a good guy.
I know he was my supervisor. And
yeah, he was operations.
Good luck.
Sorry,
I've got fillings.
I have my hair appointment.
I know that's my problem. My team. This looks good.
Maybe a little later. Crown off with that.
I do
you gotta have one of those.
Wow.
Unless you want one of those, which are even better.
Wow.
Although that's dark chocolate, it's good for you.
All right, let's get started. All right, we're going to start. We've got a pretty slim pickings here in the room, but we're going to go around and
you calling us slim pickings?
Slim pickings here, yeah. It's kind of the holiday. Signs of the holidays here. So, I'm Bernard Klatt with the Corps.
Bob Cordy, the Dalles Dam Corps. Trevor Condor, NOAA Fisheries.
Miro Zendo, John Day.
Dave Bender, Fish Pass Center.
John Hill, Fish Fuel Duty.
Dennis Schwartz, Corps.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA.
Bill Hevlin, NOAA.
Deb Bowes, Corps.
Lisa Wright, Corps.
Ben Hausman, Bonneville Corps.
Tammy Mackey, Burns Assistant.
Corps. On the phone, I got Greg Moody, Ann Setter, and Dave Stettler. Anybody else? Okay, does everybody have an agenda? Current agenda that was sent out? Okay. I'd like to first approve October, November minutes. Is there any comments on those? Going once? Twice? Gone. That was Tammy's birthday, remember that? November 1st.
November 1st, Tammy's birthday.
Okay, I'm going to consider
everybody
those.
Everybody made a note of it now?
That's right.
It's a special day, November 1st.
And I do have some special pictures from that, actually.
Tammy was drinking? Tammy was drinking
on
her
birthday? No.
Can you borrow your chisel?
I'm trusting you, Vern. I'm trusting you.
Oh, no, it's a good one. It's a classic. Okay, so in reviewing the agenda, is there anything anybody needs to add to the agenda?
Somewhere probably didn't add the adult fish facility at Bonneville Dam, or is it on
there? Yeah, it's
somewhere?
On there. AFF's on there.
Where is it at?
It's
13. I've got it.
AFF is on 13. Anybody?
Only other thing I really want to add is Bonneville Rock Removal Spillway. Bonneville Spillway Rock Removal.
You want to put that on research updates?
Sure.
My God, that thing's...
has nothing to do with research.
There, it's done.
But it's more operations driven.
Okay, we'll put it under research since you're going to report out on it.
Sure.
Rock Removal. Bonneville Rock Removal will be under 3.3.
That's
an AFF. Anybody else going once? Anybody on the phone have anything to add?
No, we don't have anything on the phone.
Okay. All right, let's get right into it. Action items for Portland. 211 is the FPOM website. Tammy already completed that by adding a link to the Fish Passage Plan website.
When was that completed, Tammy? I was hoping it was like 30 minutes after the meeting ended, or an hour after.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it was more like a couple hours. It might have even been the next day. It was a little slow.
November 2nd, that was completed.
That's why it just says completed. Thanks for calling me out there.
Your performance.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Thank you.
There it is. For 212 is the Bonneville Powerhouse 1 Unit Operations, Unit 5, scheduled to go out of service in November. Whatever happened to that, anyway?
It's out.
It's out. And we're doing, what, the four-year?
Yep.
Any idea when it's coming back?
No, but it should be 6 weeks or so.
Okay. 6 weeks.
Okay, now it's the end of January. It looks like January 24th or 25th, something like that.
Okay, that's more of a FYI. 2.1.3 is going to be something discussed later in the agenda, so you can just kind of X that out, and it's a 13.3. For Walla Walla's action items, the fish counts, Greg provided a schedule, which is on page 4 of your agenda. For your review. I don't know if anybody's had time to look at it to comment or not.
It's the same schedule we had before.
No, put your comments into it, Gary.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. I haven't had to look at it.
And I sent this thing out about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Okay. I think yesterday was my first day in the office in 3 weeks.
Okay.
So what does it mean for Bonneville count 2 or 3 ladders? Is that having a backup if you open up Cascade?
Look at your old notes that I've given to FBOM for the past, 6 months.
Okay.
What I've done is I highlighted only the changes that were incorporated for the next years. So you can get a hold of that idea there. Everything else in those blank spots are not changed. They will continue on. Okay. I just want to make sure you see the highlighted changes. Additions that everybody requested. Everything else is the same.
Okay, this is Dave Statler. So at some point, is there going to be sort of a comprehensive thing that lists the total count periods? The ongoing...
You received that, you had that last month in the agenda.
Okay. So this is just an extract from that, is that correct?
This is basically a corrected extract from it.
So it should be in the fish passage plan when...
Right. What you'll see in the fish passage plan would be correct. Yeah. We're going to have to change the dates of the adult fish counting and lamprey counting at the Dalles, which is an addition this year in the fish passage plan, and John Day Dam.
So, Greg, can you combine this extract and put it into what's going to be in the fish passage plan and shop that around and let people look at it? This is kind of confusing the way it's laid out.
I'm trying to figure it out.
You're like, what's missing? And, you know.
Okay. You'll see it in about an hour.
Okay. Great. Just send it to Tammy and she'll send it out to the group.
Okay.
So while we're having this meeting, I'm sure she can forward it. She can multitask and bake at the same time. And what else? All right. Any other comments on page 4? Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
222 is the debris issue. Anything update on that? And Gary wanted to know what the source of the fish is known.
The source of the fish, the pitag fish, were primarily from Big Canyon Creek Acclimation Facility on the Clearwater River.
Big Canyon Creek Acclimation Facility on the Clearwater?
Correct.
Interesting. That doesn't, mean anything to me, but you guys upriver.
No.
The bulk of the fish that died were from there?
Correct. Yeah. Well, yeah. Colonaris.
Where are those fish originated from? What hatchery? You know? Prior to acclimation?
Yeah, prior to acclimation, didn't track that back. I'd have to double check.
I'm just curious, being a hatchery.
Probably Lion's Ferry.
Lion's Ferry? That's what I was going to say.
Think so.
Okay. Any more comments on that, or... Anybody? Oh, you guys are easy today. So far.
Yeah, I know. Catch up with that one.
Yeah. Okay. So for Lomo, the raceway tail screens in 223.
Took that to Fitterwig, and I think at this point it's with the PDT, which Mark Smith was the lead to follow up, but just in short summary there, Bill Spurgeon came to the Fitterwig meeting over here, talked in some detail with various reps that were at the meeting, and I think the path forward that they're currently pursuing would be in one raceway at Lomo to put the revised tail screen and kind of watch for any impact and be ready to change out if they saw any, but kind of experimental mode for a year, just kind of rough testing. I'm not sure that there's any monitoring officially planned other than just the project personnel.
Okay. Any questions?
Was there agreement that what the screen they were proposing was better than what they were using? Did we come to that?
I think we came to a final agreement.
Talk louder, but essentially what they're trying to do is, what they currently did a year ago that both FPOM and I guess Fitterwig approved was a change to what had been just a modification at Lomo experimentally, probably back about 5 or 6 years ago, kind of off the record. And then Mary Moser did some research, and so they moved ahead with that implementation at most of the projects up here. Then what's been happening is that they're, Bill Spurgeon has been thinking, can he build a better mousetrap there, if you will, that, they will readily pass. And so he's, gone to the slotted perf plate thinking that the lamprey will get out better, but he can also keep the debris off that tail screen better so that when he's clearing debris off the tail screen, he's not unnecessarily harming any lamprey as well. So I guess it's primarily a debris issue that's pushing it off. And in essence, what it's also bringing in is that Fry would be able to leave the raceway.
And we just wanted to make sure that the conduit from there on down to the back to the river was in good shape and design pass fish.
Did you get the drawings you had requested from Ryan?
I didn't see them.
I haven't seen anything.
No, and we haven't.
Okay, so we have a do out there.
Yeah, yeah. That was the next step, as right. I recall, to look at that.
There's knife gate in there that we were concerned about, the seating of that knife gate, and then just how well the joints and things were. I mean, the point was this designed to pass fish, or was it just designed to pass water?
Mm-hmm. And the screen design somewhat concerned me, too,
because Trevor was concerned about the...
I mean, they're making it bigger and bigger to help lamprey, but they're starting to kind of encroach upon salmon. And when they get so large, the reason that size with the criteria was small is to keep salmon from getting stuck in it. And now that you're getting so big, it's like, well, I could see how fry can start getting stuck in this now. So instead of lamprey all stuck in the screen, we got a bunch of salmon stuck in the screen. So I don't know if they're keeping a good eye on that or not, if they're considering the fact that those fry could be getting stuck in there too.
It's kind of one of those things that depends on the water year too, because if we have a big flush, we tend to see fry. If we don't, it's pretty small numbers that are ever seen in any of the projects.
Well, I guess we look at those drawings.
They're not volitionally moving out necessarily at that small size, but when we have a flush, it's just like on any of the tributaries, you may or may not see lamprey if you're running a trap, but if you have a flush and you scour the bottom, then you're likely to see lamprey possibly, in that type of year as well.
I'm sure the same is true.
There is some things that are water year dependent, but we're trying to build this for or have something that's compliant for all water years. So,
right.
And as we get more and more fall chinook in the main stem, that can be more and more important too. So.
Sure.
We just want to make sure that it's safe.
Yep. So the next step will be I will talk to Ryan to get drawings to you.
I'll remind him of it that way.
I'll talk to Ed, who kind of, I think he wrote up a lot of that criteria for the size, and I'll talk to him about his concerns about, if he thinks those slots are a little bit too big or not, kind of get his opinion on that.
Yeah, the drawing should have some hydraulic, grade line information along with it.
Yeah.
Which I think we mentioned already. I think
you did, and it seems to me that what I recall him saying is that you were in criteria until you got to the very bottom, and then you jumped out of criteria for some distance at the bottom.
Right. I just want to see what the details of that.
Okay.
And really, what we're just looking at is that this is now becoming a preferred bypass for fry and lamprey in that system. We should at least assure that the egress pipe is designed such.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah, I'll try to get that out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's in my inbox or not. I've got some damn many emails. So I don't remember seeing anything from Ryan.
I didn't see it.
Hasn't shown up yet.
Okay.
Of course.
So that would be the egress pipe in the actual outfall location. Is that what would be checked out? Or
it is once you leave the raceway. So if you went through either the existing screen or these new screens that they'd like to put in, what kind of a passage environment do you have prior to entering the bypass outfall? Because this wires into the new bypass outfall pipe.
Okay, so and that would that's sort of like out in the channel, I guess. Is that correct?
The new bypass outfall, yeah. Now where it wires in, I'm thinking is probably facility. I haven't
sort of.
I can't answer exactly where that
why. We're trying to figure that out, right?
Yeah. But I think it's probably hopefully here on land before you get too far away.
That one didn't work last time.
But I can ask that question if you'd like it resolved as well, Dave.
Yeah, I think that part of it's important too. Yeah, where the fish ultimately end up, and then the environment, the conditions when the fish exit the pipe. Yes.
And this is low mo, right?
Yes.
And this is the new outfall pipe that we've been working on for the last year, right?
That's correct.
Or is it some okay. other?
No, it's slow-mo.
But it's also going to carry over to McNary, too.
Yeah, well, and or other dams on the Snake that maybe don't have such a good outfalls. So I don't. Well, I wouldn't worry, Dave, about low mo too much unless the water happens to go the wrong way. But the other dams, I wonder about.
Sure.
And just a little reminder. I mean, well, it's at low mo right now to take a look if you guys allow it to go ahead in this one raceway. I mean, the idea I think was coming that you know they thought this is something that they'd like to have more broadly implemented if it did work. So it is a good time to be having right. that scrutiny over, you know.
Right.
We want to see this go.
So, you know, really, I guess the bottom line would be that Ryan should have returned to river drawings from these screens, these end screens, all the way to the bypass. You know, I mean, we need to know where it ends up.
Just I know where the bypass is at. Into the bypass outfall is what you're looking for, isn't it?
I'll do all of these run directly to the existing bypass outfall, or do some go back to the river in some other location, on the rocks?
That's the whole question with the new outfall, if they all wire.
Not at Lomo.
Right, I understand Lomo, but if we're going to apply this to Granite all the way to McNary.
Well, not this year.
I know, but down the road.
And, you know, McNary will be corrected once the new outfall goes in so that you don't have anything going to the rocks anymore.
Yeah, it should be fine. Well, I mean, it just. All I'm saying is that if we're going to implement this up and down the system, that we should have a look at those, you know, whatever it's going to end up looking like.
Okay, so I think that would probably be, that would be a step that would take place maybe a year from now where that request would come in from.
Yeah, as we do it, yeah, right.
Yeah. It's apparently awesome, too.
Pretty good.
Definitely.
And can we also give a description of how those knife gates are going to be operated? I've heard that they're going to be fully open whenever fish are going to be running through. Can you guys just confirm that and you know give us like a detail of how those knife gates look when they're fully open? You know, if there's like a little edge sticking out or how edgy are they? Are they completely smooth when they're fully open? I can't really visualize what they look like. So,
and is this going to be written up in the FPP? Hopefully you have the operation
file
run this in
the FDP. Yeah, it's
going to
be pretty benign.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's pretty benign. What exactly are you looking at?
I think it's the route that's most important. If once you replace the screen, then it is what it is. It's just a different screen. So
yeah,
it is in operation, but we just want to make sure that once that's replaced, that everything from that screen downstream, since now it's intended to be a bypass system, is designed like a bypass system. That's all there is to this. Simple.
So wouldn't you include the specifications or something like that for the screen in the passage plan?
We could.
During the design.
I mean, the whole thing comes down to we want to stop killing the fish on the screen. We just don't want to make sure we don't kill them downstream of the screen.
Right.
This is not.
Not
I don't think this is a big one. We just want to know that we're not putting them through like a shear zone.
I just don't know how that pipe from there on down was designed. I don't know. I don't know what the thought was when that was designed.
Might have not have been thought of having fish in at all.
I think so.
Well, it's probably old and isn't something that's necessarily been upgraded, so it was more for use in an emergency when you had raceways loaded and you needed to return them to river for some reason.
Right, yeah. I just don't know the attention to detail on that route versus our standard bypass system. So.
Right.
It's probably fine. You know, I'm not saying
potentially
it's not.
Old criteria as well, you know, if that changed with some of your more recent revisions.
Right. But, you know, the thing here is we're not passing large debris like long sticks and stuff, so the joint radiuses don't have to be, you know, 5-1 or whatever. There's some of those things we wouldn't worry about, but it's more the smoothness, pipe smoothness, joint thick, and then that valve issue. And then where they ultimately end up, how that flow gets into the main bypass, you know, things like that.
Yep.
All right, Ann, so can you get Ryan to send you, and then you can forward to Tammy to give to FPOM the drawings, and then What did you want, Trevor?
Description of how the knife gate is going to operate.
And the knife gate description operation.
Yes. If they also have a description of how the knife gates, I'm assuming, are they completely recessed? Do they stick out a little bit?
Right, that's what he's asking.
Drawing on that.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, I was under the impression that the raceway tail screens, that all of the Walla Walla projects had the raceway tail screens changed for
last year.
In view of the to aid in the lamprey.
That's correct. That largely took place last year. I think there was a few screens at McNary that didn't get done that are getting done this year because they ran out of material. But this is a whole new screen design that the Lamprey group has brought, in this case, last time to FPOM initially, and then we kicked it over to Fitterwig. And so going away from kind of the square wire to perf plate that has slots in it and so much larger openings than what we had with the square mesh, wire mesh. So that's kind of the issue that people are looking at this a little bit more closely.
Okay, so that discussion that we just had about ultimate egress from the raceways to the river via the pipe and location of the pipe outfall. I mean, that concern is germane immediately.
Yeah. Good point.
In view of the fact that those tail screens were changed to induce more lamprey to go through. So, and it may have already been checked out. I don't know, but all I'm saying is that needs to be done.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's more immediate rather than down the road.
So did you just add to my do-out? I don't know if I followed if I had a new do-out or if that was just an increased emphasis on the importance of knowing sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Well, I believe... I believe Derek Farrar and the Lamprey group did take a look and ensure that most of the outfalls were put in a good location. Now, they probably didn't go through and check velocities and all that kind of stuff. So the main impetus of this was, we're killing fish on the screen. It'd be better to pass them through the screen and out and bypass, even though it may not be ideal.
I don't know how well this new bypass, if you will, matches up with the existing in terms of velocities and where the water comes in at. And there's all the pipe joints, the radiuses on the bends, the seating and the valves, which there shouldn't be any valves, but there are. So, that's pretty. I don't know that wasn't gone through in the past. I don't remember it. But it would be for the four projects.
Maybe that one sub that came through and came with that work. I would talk to Derek, and I would talk to Derek Fryer and see what work was done in that group.
Yeah.
Before we put any skeletons, they did something, because we obviously didn't want them just to release to an outfall that dumped it on the rocks. That would have been really stupid.
Right.
But don't put us past us. We could have done that.
No, I think that might be happening at Lower Granite. Lower Granite has a real poor.
We did, but they were supposed to have done something about that. About making sure they didn't, I don't know. But Derek Farr was in charge of that group. That was the task ray, that was a lamprey group that looked at that a couple years back. So I would call to Derek Farr and see just how diligent and how in-depth they did looking at that.
Yeah, and I guess our point is that this is now becoming a salmon passage route as well. So
if we go to this newer screen system.
Right, yeah. Criteria need to be adhered to. So that's maybe a little bit of a twist on it.
Well, probably already is. If lamprey can pass through that, then can't fry pass through those holes?
Well, they need to be at a criteria. Yeah, right. Exactly. They probably already are. We just didn't think about it.
Yeah. You guys know following from the job,
Yeah. We try. At least we make all the meetings.
At least you're saving them from being eaten in the bar.
That's their new motto.
What?
And we're so effective at these meetings.
Oh, hey, that's your new motto. The new Noah motto. We try.
Googly
core.
Google
core.
Try.
Yeah.
It's got the candy core to the we can try core.
Yeah. Oh man, you're throwing darts already.
Yeah, we can try. It was a late night last night.
I thought this was going to be a laid back meeting.
You eat some fudge.
Yeah.
I just did. That's why I'm a little.
Yeah, don't give
now.
Him any more. Cut him off.
All right, so Ann, you got that last little bit. Talk to Derek and find out what his task group had done in their evaluation. And
of existing outfalls for lamprey passage.
Yeah. As he was, I guess, the chair of that task group.
Well, he was kind of the lamprey guy at that time.
Right. All right, well, let's move on.
Let's.
All right, 2.3 action items completed, discussed later in the agenda is actually the, just skip that one there. I don't know what that is for.
Is that one? Nothing. 2.3, move on.
Tammy and I are still struggling with how we want to deal with that. I like to cross it out.
Is it down? Cross it out.
I meant to move some of those items down.
She didn't
there.
Move them
he
down.
Doesn't think they should be on there. I keep them on there so there's a record that action items have actually been completed.
So 2.1.3 should be down below there under 2.3. So whatever. Let's go to updates. Walla Walla. Turbine cooling water strainer spreadsheet has been posted to the website. Are we still posting that to the website?
Yes, it's posted. It's been posted.
Excellent. Like to hear that. The columnaris update at Transport at Goose and Lomo.
You stopped transport, so.
Yeah, I think basically that was kind of covered with the pit tag data.
Right. Those are all big canyon.
I didn't
really
have any prepared to talk on that. I just
Lines Ferry
figured,
fish.
Yeah, figured they were one and the same.
Okay.
But
no more talking then. We'll just keep moving.
Question. McNary screen cleaning brush broke down around November 17th. When was that? How's that? I see the bypass is still flowing north.
That's correct.
So, what's the status?
I believe the status was they got it completed, but when we talked with folks about it, there was nobody seemed to care if they flipped back, and so then we're kind of into colder water, colder air temperatures this week anyway, and so I think it just got left in emergency bypass because it didn't seem to matter to anybody when we had the last discussion whether or not we went back. It seemed to be left open.
Well, we're getting the cold issues, but I just wanted to know, so the brush is the gearbox, or what happened there?
We can send out some information on that. I think we have we should have something from Carl, and I can look at that as we're, I can almost open it as we're sitting here, but...
Okay. Well, why don't you see if you can get something and send it out.
Okay, so here's what it says. It says we need to stay in emergency bypass. Although the fire hose system does not use potable water, it would take forever for it to rewater the channel. Rewatering the channel would impinge fish on the screens without the service unit line available to recharge the screen area. It's not worth the risk to get a couple more weeks of pit tag counts. And the way the weather is going, we'll likely have a freeze-up in the meantime. We don't need to get into a musical chairs bypass mode where we're up 1 week and down the next.
That's fine. I just wanted to know what status was of that the screen and where we were at.
So you'll recall that they were doing some work on the station service unit, and so that limited the water that was available for rewatering the channel. That's the biggest reason that they didn't go back.
Okay.
So sorry, I didn't have that on the tip of my tongue, but that is, I think that satisfies your need.
Well, I'm still wondering about the screen cleaning, if that's been repaired.
It has been repaired.
It has been. Okay.
It wasn't
yet again.
And let me see. I can probably.
It was a failed key for the brake clutch.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Oh, that's all it was. Okay.
Yes. But they couldn't get to it without on water and.
Okay, John. Thanks.
Any other comments on that? Portland updates. We got the winter maintenance schedule on the website for review.
We have an update from our
car. And we have an update from our Bonneville Project Fisheries team leader, Ben Houseman. Step on up. Step on up.
Did you have the Sherman's running?
I have one too, Jim.
Oh,
well, that? Sure. Just now I had a question.
to the point of bringing Washington Shore back and taking Bradford down. So what we'd like to do is switch unit priority to Powerhouse 2 so we can start drawing fish away from Bradford and take it to Orfisville on Monday. But I wanted to make sure that was acceptable with everybody. Basically,
how many units you got
at Powerhouse 2? Everything but 11, 15.
18's back?
18 is not back, you're right.
So 18, 15, is minus 3.
But we have, I mean, we can wait until Monday, just the sooner we can stop growing fish over there, the better.
Fish passing numbers are really down to 2, 1s. Right now, steelhead's starting to pick up a little bit.
5 units worth of water. That's a lot of water. Fish will go over there. So you're basically envisioning a split powerhouse operation for a while?
Yeah. I mean, just really until Monday.
Well, you're not going to be able to put all, because you're supposed to be running, God, what is it, 125-ish for a chum operation?
Well, I shouldn't say that within Monday. We would have Bradford down start Monday.
Yeah. So anyway, just get, I mean, from now on out, you can prioritize powerhouse while you're going to keep running the split powerhouse just because of the way with Metaflow and Metaflow.
You can almost get 90K through the second powerhouse.
So you're still stuck at 40. You still put 2 units on a power spot there.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, I'm just, hence a split powerhouse operation. Just you're going to put more of it at powerhouse 2 than powerhouse
1.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
No, how are we doing with the ladders at Western Shore?
Back.
Everything's back?
How much material?
How much?
I don't have any idea.
I didn't get a number yet.
But I mean, do you guys find anything else when you're cleaning them out? Any other things seem problematic? Was just basically a bunch of debris?
Not really. It was just debris stacked on the valves. A lot. A fair amount of debris. You'll see it. You dumped it all on the end of Cascades Island.
It's a fun.
It's fair.
So we've got full passage then on that side?
We do. And we're only running one fish unit, but yeah, it's up.
That's fine. So what it comes down to is the lack of a good downstream passage route for fallback fish. That's really what we're down to here, because running those units without the STSs in place and the bypass, there's no alternative materials. Whereas at first we have the sluiceway still running. So that's the biological issue here. How many fallbacks?
Fallbacks versus how many fish you want to take to a dead end. Dead end powerhouse.
Yeah, you'll have steel fish there, but I mean, powerhouse 1. If you win or steel end.
Yeah, they'll find their way out. Dead fish or dead fish.
Yeah.
You go through it, you probably have a chance of being whacked. I don't know. And I mean, I would wait as long as I could, I guess, and then switch it over.
You can wait till Monday.
Yeah, wait till Monday. Okay. We normally shut the system down on the 15th, so that's the period that we're still in a situation in the time of year when we would normally be providing fallback fish protection at Bonnie 2. We're not, so that's right. The issue.
But we're getting a lot of work done.
Yeah, we are, and that's good. I mean, that's what we're doing. But if we can wait, I would wait as long as we can.
Okay. What kind of clips did you guys use for the diffuser gearing? The same old, or did you guys come up with something new?
No, they
plastic.
Bolted angle iron on the wall, so something else will fail before the anchors fail.
Cool. Okay.
Cable tie.
It's pretty burly.
It's pretty burly.
That'll probably work. Those hard, real thick ones.
That's just the wall, or they're what you about on this.
Totally.
It's like
don't go anywhere without
look
zip
like
ties
like
and duct tape.
Clips, made out of strap.
Like that one shingle guy.
That's right.
That big or so.
Yeah, and then in the pit tag sections, it's metal clips.
Yeah. I mean, I know those sections I think would be better if they were strips, full strips, rather than the short clips, just because you lose a couple of bolts, you can lose the entire clip, you lose a couple of bolts on a strap, and the rest of the bolts will hold it.
Right.
So I think that's a little better. I don't know. We'll see how it goes here, and maybe down the road that might be a better way to go. Use more steel, I know that.
Sure. That's a problem we have. We don't know if it's going to be an impact to the pit tech stuff there in general, but we have those fiberglass gratings in those sections. so I don't know how much.
How much more steel can you add to that before you, yeah, those areas, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the kind of the junction pool area down there and seeing, you know, the clips there and thinking, well, those could be straps rather than short, short clips, and maybe they would be a little better. I mean, you still wouldn't have any more bolts holding it down, but at least if one or two fail, the other's pulled. That's the
And it gives some place for the lamprey to suck along.
Well, it would, yeah, except they run.
Sound effects.
They run.
You make a good lamprey.
Parallel or perpendicular flow rather than parallel.
So on. It's like this. Now there's nothing.
That's true.
Is that Kenny G?
Kenny G. Kenny G ringtones the T-Mobile thing, then yeah, I guess so. I paid extra for that ringtone.
I'm sure you did. Kenny G ringtone. Tom never surprises me. Never ceases to surprise me. All right, anything else on that one?
Nope. So win on Monday. I guess we didn't get it.
Say, Byrne, one quick question.
Yes, sir.
On that one. Fish count stations, are they going to be still the same schedule?
Bradford Island will be out of
service. Yeah, Bradford's going down.
And that would be, what, the 15th? Or Monday?
Orifice flow on Monday.
Monday.
Orifice flow, so there'll still be some fish passing.
Okay, I'll quickly inform the contractor.
So
thank you.
On Monday, you'll switch priority as best you can and switch priority, and then whatever flow.
Take Bradford Orifice flow.
Still goes through Powerhouse 1.
Okay. And so we're only going to be doing Washington ladder counts.
So we're spilling out of the
That's
Washington.
That's correct.
Or the north side of the spillway, yeah, with one stop.
Okay.
Cascade Island?
Cascade Island. Right.
So okay. Can we do that Powerhouse change at like 0500?
I don't care. That's
up to you. Something early.
Whatever you want to do. 0500?
Something early at
be
power
ready
shift.
To get started.
Yeah. Either
which
maybe,
is
maybe
five.
At midnight. We just need to call as soon as it would be better. They're just looking at their schedule, see when they want to shift it.
Anytime, I mean, I don't know when fish fall back more likely than at any other time. So. Whatever works. So that's 12th.
Any other questions, comments?
Okay. Glad to hear the Russian shorts back up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
ta-da! It was a challenge, but we pulled it off.
Yeah.
A little impact to fish. But.
Big kudos to Bonneville Project. I mean, they just did another fish ladder.
They've had their work cut out of their own fish.
Okay, so I've got one more update from my main man, Bob,
east
from
ladder.
The Dalles.
So we dewatered the east ladder Monday and Tuesday. Everything went well on that. And we have maintenance focused on the fish lock again. I know last FPOM there were some concerns about us not being able to get the fish lock running and doing the tests in February. So we're back on track. There were some funding issues, too, that came up that we resolved. And we have maintenance working on it right now. So okay. Things are going awesome.
They're out there banging away on the valves?
Yep. There's four valves that were seized up. They got two of them going. And actually, that's the minimum to make this whole
WD-40?
Test work. So,
sledgehammer.
Yeah. So, it's looking good so far. And then structural crew is going to continue putting in grading. As planned.
Replacing
grading. Yeah.
And this is replacing kind.
Yep. And then one other thing too, and we'll talk about it. I guess we're going to talk about it more here. The next item, but it has to do with the exit weirs. The guides on those exit weirs were worn pretty bad, and so they're going in there and patching it up right now. But it's kind of a temporary.
The telescopic weirs there, so there's
yeah.
Like
well, the removable ones, 154 right. through 7.
Right, they're wearing.
They're wore right through the steel into concrete. Okay. The wheels are hitting. So
wow.
They're patching those Ooh. Guides up right now, but. We'll talk about it more on the next item where we talk about the whole weird.
Are they welding them and just welding and grinding, or how are they
just patching the concrete?
They're just cutting out the bad stuff and patching in new steel, welding it in.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like there's not enough steel to weld to anymore.
No, they're running out. They just keep at.
Just like turbine blades, you just keep at.
Yeah.
It's all well.
Oh, actually, that brings up another thing, too.
Keep going.
Remember a while back we were running into cracks in the fish unit blades? Well, they found another crack on the same fish unit blades. But it looks like it's just a small crack. They're able to chase that out. So it's not, if you hear about blade cracks in the fish units, that's the status on that. It's not as bad as they first thought. So
well done,
hopefully they'll hang on for a little longer.
Any other updates?
No.
Well, if that jersey door says, they'll hold on and hang on for a little bit longer until you want to retire.
Hopefully.
So I
will. Go ahead.
During that recent dewatering, were there any adult lamprey that were noted during that?
Yes, we had almost 30.
Really? And that was where, again? I'm sorry.
The Dalles.
Dalles East.
East Ladder.
Okay. Worm strings or Yakima sometimes they come down and collect. Did they come and collect?
No. We asked Nez Pierce if they were going to come down again, and they, after the last few years of coming down for one lamprey, they decided not even to try. And so
they
missed out on this year.
All day driving for one lamprey.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Bob? Okay, Miro, you got anything?
No.
You want to? Okay. All right, well, let's get right into research updates.
Well, one thing before we talk about this. John Bates shot an email earlier this week about how Unit 3 at Ice Harbor was running back screen for 11 hours.
I was just going to bring that up, too.
And
me, too. But I was going to wait a little
bit. Well, if you want to wait, we can wait. I'm just saying.
Talk about it now.
So
Ice was running without a screen for how long?
About 12 hours.
12 hours, yeah. It's really uncertain just how that happened because, you know, the operators obviously walk around the project. And, you know, I talked with the operating project manager yesterday, and he was just like shaking his head going, I don't get it. I don't know. But what we have done is they've implemented a couple new processes to try to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I heard that, Ann, and I think Bill had been talking with you guys, and I just like to, you know, I mean, this probably should be on the agenda, and it, you know, your remedial actions should be noted somewhere, you know, as a follow up to the your memorandum of record.
Okay.
So it sounds like you guys have dealt with it. I was a little surprised that the crews were actually making decisions out there on stuff like this. That's probably not the best approach. So.
Well, I think they made the right decisions. There's someone just like then turned the unit on. I mean, because they pulled the screen, replaced
it. Well, they made the assumption it wouldn't be used when it was going to be used.
Well,
I mean,
why
the operator.
That's the question.
Well, the operator should know that. You know, the crew shouldn't be the one making the decision. That would be the operator. So.
The operator made a bad decision.
Yeah, so
that's where the fault lies is with the operator.
I see. Well,
so the remedial actions are all targeted to not allow the operator to make a bad decision. In other words, there would be something on the button that would turn that on that would say, no, don't turn this on because...
It's called a red tag.
Well, you know, I sort of asked about the tag out, lockout a little bit. You know, that's a physical that's up top. The thing is that, you know, people have been walking by this in September, you know, and so that's what makes it even harder for somebody to fathom how some guy comes in the morning and probably comes in on a, you know, morning shift or whatever, but, you know, that there's oversight, but... One of the other things that didn't happen that day is generally there's a log book that these operators keep, and so ongoing issues, you know, sort of like having a screen up, had not been noted in the log book. So when they carried over the previous days, you know, things to be wary of, that was not on the list, and so that's kind of an oversight as well. So, you know, that would be one place it would be remedied, and then the second place would be the actual... I don't know if it's a switch or a button, but the where you would initiate turning that on, then there would be a way to re-notify someone, hey, you're not supposed to turn this on yet, and then they would have to look at what, well, you know, why.
They can hang a tag on the lever. I mean, that, you know, that's okay.
Well, what Mark Plummer told me yesterday when I talked to him was there, but they now have a checklist. The operators have a checklist in their book there of 200 plus things that they've got to go through before they turn a unit on or off. They've got to go through this checklist. Right. And that was not on the checklist to be certain that
the screen screens
were in the unit. That was not. Now it is.
Right.
And also, they've got an agreement, too, that the operators will call the fish staff people like Mark Plummer a half an hour before a unit comes on that hasn't been used lately. So they're trying to.
There should be an indicator somewhere in the control room that the screens are available. Yeah. And there is a Bonneville. I don't know if they're all the same. But I have another.
I don't think there's anything electronic that tells them the placement of the screen.
That's another thing that I found out too was that the crane operator, the older crane operator, is in Afghanistan, and that the crew is new that are working on the screens now. So I think when the old people retire and go, that have done these things for years, sometimes that's a difficult process of getting the young people that are new to the job, knowing that,
they don't know all the assumptions that were made before.
Right.
So
we need to prevent that with a checklist. And
yeah.
So, Ann, are you going to have an MFR coming out on this?
Well, John put one out, but what they're asking for is that we put an additional one with the remedial
actions
identified.
Yeah, it's just a follow-up MFR that says here's what we've done to clean up the issue. The other issue I had with the memorandum of record, which I have with lots of them, is the analysis that was done for fish impacts. And I know there wasn't much to analyze here, but there was no mention of why this operation with those screens has continued into December, as it's in the fish passage plan. It's meant to be there. They're meant to be there to prevent fallback of adult salmon through the turbine units, but there was no mention of that in the analysis that John did. And the reality is you don't really know. So I mean, you just have to say that I would have liked to have seen something that said that this was normally, these screens are operated to prevent fallback of adults. We don't know how many are falling back because we don't have the information, any way of knowing, but it's still important because the way this reads, it's like, well, why the heck would we do this anyway?
Yeah.
And, that was a long, long, hard-fought battle back in the old days to get those screens left in until the 15th. I think that was Jim Sabias who fought that battle.
Well, it's too bad we took out the ice-trash sluiceway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, then we wouldn't have to do it.
And we wouldn't have to.
It seemed to me that what John had in there was just kind of a 10-year average of the numbers that were falling back, suggestive that
It wasn't upstream passage.
Yeah,
it says since adult fish counts ceased for the season on November 1, there is no current fish passage data available at S Harbor Dam. I mean, once you say that, you automatically say you don't know what's going on. I mean, historical records indicate that few passed Ice Harbor on December 6th over the previous 10-year record. That may be true, but it's not how many passed that day. It's how many are in the forebay to fall back, which could be hundreds. And that's what our concern is at all these dams in the winter. So all I'm saying is recognize the reason why the screens are in, and then make some statement as to what this means to that purpose.
You can reference McNary's fallback data.
Yeah,
that's the closest project.
That's what we have.
It's
a little probably different.
If there's that many at McNary, then there's bound to be quite.
There's bound to be some there all the way up the Snake, and that's just. I mean, that's the reason why the screens were left in. I know that's a maintenance issue in itself. All I'm saying is just be a little more clear about the potential biological effects. So people don't get the idea that, if I read this and I was sitting in the operator's chair, I would say, well, why the heck are we doing it anyway?
Okay, so there was not enough coverage there of the reason why they're in and the concern when they're not in.
That's all, yeah. Thanks.
She's going to send that out in another MFR.
Thanks.
Any other questions for Walla Walla on that? Okay. Leads us to 3.3 research updates. Dennis, you're here, and you said you wanted to talk about a non-research issue, but do you have any research stuff?
Yes. One thing, just a heads up, is at Bonneville, we're going to be doing a spillway trolley pipe survey next.
That's number 10.
Oh, is that in number 10?
Okay.
All right. The only other thing I have for researcher updates is making folks aware that things are going in for the JSATS program. Things are going in sooner than they have in the past for this year, just because there's so much happening in the lower Columbia River plus the Snake River projects this year that PNNL's had to come in, and staffing-wise and stuff like that, we're having to install a lot of equipment earlier than...
Any other criteria that you should have to worry about?
No, it's just there's a lot more emphasis on, so there's project support things that we're having to work through, and not only are the projects busy doing winter maintenance, but we're working with our researchers to get equipment on the project sooner, so just a heads up on that.
Now it's January?
It'll be February. Yeah. But normally it's in March, early April before we start spill.
Sometimes we end up in problems.
Yeah. So the bulk of the installations of the lower Columbia River projects are going to be in late February now, mid to late February. Yeah.
You want to talk about the rock removal too?
Yes. Yeah, the rock removal. So
At Bonneville.
So Bonneville Spillway, we just did an initial survey in the Stilling Basin, and I think Gary and most folks are aware that we saw a interesting artifact this year that, because of the long spill, the high spill, we've got literally large piles of rock, and I think in about 6 or 7 spill bays that are between the end of the deflector and the dragon's teeth of the dentates. And that's the flow. What do they call those things? Flow deflectors or whatever. So several of these piles, for one, are on the top of the previous damage, so we can't survey to see how bad the damage is or the amount of, I guess, extra damage to these holes. Second thing is that we're seeing this material being transient. It's moving from one place to the other. So all it's doing is moving around, but all this rock is round, which means that it's rolling around in there, beating crap up. So right now, the Portland District has been charged with trying to come up with a solution to get that rock out of there. And that involves a physical removal of that rock. It's not just opening up the spillways and trying to brush it away. It's physically going in there and removing that rock so it doesn't have an opportunity to come back.
I still think you're missing an opportunity. It's aggregate.
Just pour concrete on top of it.
You're done.
Gary's quick
cap.
Just
cap that sucker.
Why are you
digging out the hole? You should be filling it in.
Yeah, so fill it in.
But it just filled in for you.
Yeah. So tomorrow, Portland District is meeting for a short period of time to try to come up with how we're going to remove that.
It won't stay out of there.
Huh?
It won't stay out.
Well, whatever...
You just get the chicks.
No, we're not going to flush. The plan is not to flush it. The plan is to physically remove it.
Oh, I understand.
So it doesn't have a chance to move. But there's plenty else to move. But
we'll come back.
We want to get rid of that stuff this year. And part of it is our message forward is just, well, we've got April 10th is our spill date. So we want to make sure that all the spillway is operational for fish passage starting April 10th. So that's the date we're working from. So that's just an update for rock removal.
Are you any idea where the rock's coming from?
Yeah, well,
pulled back up from.
It's we don't think it's material from damage. We think it's material being brought up. Yeah, it's material we think that's in the tail race.
If you look at the
coming back up.
Yeah,
sucked right up. It's because of there's a recirculation. Yeah. You've got all spill bays are going fully open at that dam, about even. So what happens is instead of flow coming. Flow has to feed that spillway. You have to have flow coming up and feeding that. It's coming up along the bottom instead of from the sides or from between bays. It's coming up from the bottom. So you got to return recirculation.
Well,
yeah. 300 kcfs. Those gates are open.
They're
holding a lot of
6, 7, 8 feet.
Huh. Anytime you do that, you're going to pull stuff up onto the stilling base.
Yeah.
The high tailwater,
lucky. As long as we had this year. We are looking at the influence of the 7 versus 14 deflectors and how they're interacting with that edge effect.
Lori did some initial calculations with this year's flow, and we were seeing velocities of 58 to 60 feet per second in some areas. So picking up a 3-foot rock is not too, you know, uncommon.
It'll roll it back up in there. You don't have to worry about it.
So yeah, that's where we have any tentative ideas. I mean, I'm assuming it would be some type of barge mounted crane pick, short duration.
Right. The barge that was there, they're just going to bring that back.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has to do with some physical floating plant coming up there, probably with some kind of bucket.
This could be interesting. There's a lot of rebar down in there, and they're trying to bucket that stuff out. They could angle up and.
We think it may involve some form of diver, you know, assisted type of scoop over here.
Yeah.
Dredge. Once you get the big stuff out, it should be.
Diver in the water with equipment operating around them?
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy thing, because a lot of these rocks you saw they range from everything from, you know, cantaloupe size to 3-4 foot round rock.
That's amazing.
So did they do that survey last year, and did they see those rocks in there last year?
No.
So there was no survey done last year?
Yes.
There was no rocks. Okay.
Because
I'm just thinking, you know, the spillway survival bond was relatively horrible. So what if those rocks, you know, those rocks may have contributed to that, you know, slamming fish against those rocks?
Sure.
But it was bad last year, too, so that's why I'm like, well, maybe no, that's not it. Maybe that's not the reason. So.
Yeah, you get holes in there. I mean, I think it's all the above.
You have erosion. It's not.
I mean, we don't think the rocks are contributing a lot to the survival issue, and more than it's damaging the structure.
Yeah. I mean, those rocks and there's 300K spill are going to be moving. That whole thing was rocking.
So, just wanted you to be aware of that.
Are they going to try to move that before spill season?
Yes. Yes. Everything we're working towards has to be done before April 10th. And I said better, and you better plan on doing it a lot sooner than that. If we get a wet winter again, and we have to do force spill or something weird. Yeah.
I remember being down in that gallery.
That's Kennedy.
No, that's Anya. Dennis, one thing. Yes. That report on the erosion. Uh-huh. Is that going to be made available to the rest of the region? Because that sort of way all that was given out was basically just kind of
What we've asked Lori to do is pull together kind of an MFR that summarizes the full survey. And so the team is doing that. There's also a 3D, they did what we call the 3D blue view, which means they set down these 3D vision cameras on tripods and then shot a 3D view, especially underneath the undercut by base 3 and 4. So that information will be in a 3D view as well. So there is an MFR coming out for that. And we asked in the Fitterwig notes that that'll be included in an upcoming update for you guys.
Both all the rocks in the 3D view is probably.
Well, the 3D view is more for the undercut. It's not so much for the piles. We've got really good just bathymetry survey that shows the piles and the extent of the piles.
But it indicated there was probably a pile off near the undercut, too, that was out in front of it.
Yeah.
That you guys were looking back under.
Back underneath, So whatever survey data we have, we are compiling it into a one kind of master document to send out to the region, so that's a good idea.
And then she also compared years past to see how much erosion has increased or not.
And she mentioned that she didn't think the undercut was as bad as they originally thought.
That's what I heard. I just want to make sure it's done in writing.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is we need to fix that spillway.
Bottom line is the spillway is going to gather additional attention from years to come.
Well, we hope so, because if we don't fix it now, if the thing fails, it's going to be a lot more expensive.
I think if anything, a take home message from what Lauren was talking about is that the initial thoughts that, oh my gosh, the apron is about to fail because it's so undercut, we don't think that's the case. We think that they were getting back because the undercut's not as deep as we thought, but it is going to need some immediate attention.
So you guys knew what was going to happen with the V-branch ladder before it happened?
No, it was moving last year. It moved last year.
You knew that? So you knew this hole was being...
No, but see, that hole didn't show up in the... The hole didn't show up in the bathymetry survey.
I'm just saying, I'm not sure you guys know what's going to happen.
Well, I'm just saying, because erosion can happen.
I have more confidence in that undercut structurally than I do on both Cascade Island B branch. Because the higher we spill, the more this is going on over there.
compared to.
There's pretty good undercut going on out there, too. Yep. That's what's causing that. You know, that's, the hydraulics and the spillway are pretty dynamic, especially at 300K. Okay.
So, yes, we may be asking for, closures of, spill bays to get equipment in and out and people and personnel in there. So, it's coming.
All right. Keep us updated on that.
Okay.
Leads us to 3-4 RCC update. How are we looking?
Forecast lower granite inflows day 1, 20 KCFS. Day 5, 22 KCFS, and day 10, 23 KCFS. Moving down the system to Priest Rapids, day 1, 120 KCFS, day 5, 94 KCFS, and day 10, 92 KCFS. And moving down to Bonneville, day 1, 150 KCFS, day 5, 129 KCFS, and day 10, 127 KCFS. So any other specific project?
Oh, this is
day 10, Bonneville, 127.73 KCFS.
So pretty, we're doing pretty good on
maintaining
our 125.
But that's it. That's at 0400 hours. At
11.3 to
11.5 slightly to 127.72 KCFS. That's at 1,000 hours. Any other specific questions?
So we're meeting the 11.3 to 11.7 tailwater pretty.
Actually, we're now to, we're supposed to be 11.7 to 12.5.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're meeting that though.
That is the current operation.
Yeah. Great. Is there any updates
in that around?
From TMQ? Is there anything about Chum spawning and
lots in new creek? The new channel they put up, they've gotten a lot of access this year.
It's an off river channel.
Yeah.
But nothing in the, not much in the
new
eye.
Channel. Yeah. Myers channel?
Over 100 fish in there.
Oh, okay.
Is that what they're talking about? What channel are you talking about?
Hamilton.
The new channels they built on.
100
Hamilton.
Fish or 100 reds?
Have you seen them?
No, I haven't.
Oh my god.
Are you talking about the big log wood?
Or
there's actually
it's
a new
the
spring?
Improvements. It's the highway red design system. It's like, holy crap.
It looks like a sidewalk.
I know.
Okay. There's like 100 chunks flying in it.
Yeah.
It's not the old channel. There's another one.
The old channel's 100. Got more of it. The new one's
500.
Got, it looks just like it.
Yeah.
But it's got a little less than the old channel does.
It's engineered. They put logs along both sides. You're going to put a little walkway above. It's like, wow, some engineer would easy on that design. Natural? No, but
neon flashing lights.
That's next. We'll put bubblers in it too. Next time.
The Kenny G music we're playing.
That's right, huh?
Yeah.
Getting them in the mood.
Serenade the chump.
All right, BPA update. Got anything? BPA?
Just an hour late.
You're doing well.
I haven't had a chance to talk to Scott. I think he had something on the chum spawning, but I have not had a chance to talk to him, so I don't have any.
Okay.
You got interviewed by OPB yesterday, so that would be very.
With the new channel?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Wow. He's down there yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
So, what is Scott going to become like a photo documentary person now? He seems like running lots of photos and stuff.
So, yeah.
This was by who?
OPB.
Is it Oregon Field Guide?
Yeah, but that's not Oregon. Yeah.
Well, if you hear, send out the send out the link and the time and.
Yeah, OPB's got that
ecotrope. I don't know if it's radio or TV. I didn't specify. He did look like his hair was.
Well, I'm sure.
Video camera was there.
But can you really quaff that? That's really the question.
Quaff the mop.
You can't quaff that mop, Scott. Quaff
that mop. I don't know what that means. Whatever.
It's called having a woman sitting in a white.
226 live.
How much does quaff cost?
All right.
25 pound spreads, which means
they're
nesting on top of each other.
All right. Yeah. Let's pass the fudge down there. Get it down.
More fudge, mostly.
Hey, fudge. You're going to throw your arm out. Fudge. My God, those things are heavy.
That's a lot.
Recovery, we can stop everything we're doing.
That's a lot of fudge.
So, 10-pound fudge?
Yeah. Okay. There's no coordination forms to approve. Now we can get into number five. John Day potential ERDC anchor testing. Preliminary notification at ERDC. What do you got there, Miro?
New. This was just a preliminary notification. It doesn't appear it will have any impact on fish passage in the bladder. It's in the vicinity, but as I mentioned earlier, it was the only minor issue would be maybe potential shadows, but the crane will be located on the Nevlak roadway, so it will be south, obviously, of the north of the sun, so even that is probably
far-fetched.
Right. Right. That's it.
Questions, comments?
I have one now. So that's all.
All right. Bob, number six, fish passage spillway north ladder.
Okay, so this has to do with, I'm sure most of you remember a while back about the when we spill and it blocks the north fish ladder when we hit around 100K. Interesting little scenario this year when we seem to surpass, and I noticed Gary was looking into it as well, but when we go over 200K, the Chinook seem to be able to find that ladder.
Yeah, that's that little smiley face. The smiley face on my graph.
That's crazy. Sorry.
Yeah. But now looking at everything else,
caught me by a surprise.
The Chinook Jack,
why?
No. And the steelhead and sockeye.
I think it's tailwater depth. You did a tailwater
and
depth.
Yeah, we did a tailwater thing.
That's 500 it's, in the river.
Yeah.
40%,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we got up to 250 on the spillway.
I just thought it was an interesting artifact, really, observation of what was going on, because it was a pretty dramatic downturn for, spill and passage. And what I did was, this is daytime. I don't know if you use just spill or if you use the daytime spill, but this is daytime only spill, so it'd be spill when fish are typically passing the ladder for 5 hours or so.
Yep.
Pretty strongly correlated.
Yeah, it looks like, and so we did look at the tailwater as well. So that should be on the agenda with the four graphs on one page. Second graph down is tailwater, and it's not as abrupt on your tailwater as it is on the K, but seems about 80, probably about 80 on the tailwater elevation, and that seemed to be kind of the magic point that would let you look in there.
So are you possibly suggesting at higher flows, would you run bottle higher to increase your tailwater?
No, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just pointing this out. It was surprising to see anything coming in that ladder over 200K.
Yeah,
it's
zero.
Sounds amazing.
Right.
But that gives you potential, God forbid, if something happened to East Ladder.
It's just, the function. It's
good point.
But
something.
It's
not that it's ever breaking down. It's
the
second
order.
It's all zero.
I have to dump all the Johnny's
pools so we can have
those little cracks.
It's a second order polynomial line through your dots, just like all these other cards. They're all the same second order polynomial. It's just that in that one, because of the zeros, it drove it down the line.
The sockeye don't respond.
Well, the same.
Yeah, so, they
you
are
see
responding.
If you graph jacks, Chinook, you get the similar response to sockeye. Smaller fish don't follow the larger fish in terms of how they pass.
Yep. So on the foreground page, the jacks is the red line, and they're flat line all the way through all that high.
Oh, you've got jacks on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the blue is the adult. So the blue, this seemed to peak out with the peak of our spill. And the jack stayed flat line, and the sockeye and the steelhead didn't show much. And then we looked at lamprey too, but they pretty much show up after most of that ridiculously high spill anyway.
So. I mean, I think the take home here is, we know the smaller fish don't do well when you get in the 90K spill range.
We see a correlation negative as higher spill. We get lower passage rates until we get into really high spill. Then the bigger fish seem to be able to get into the entrance, though the smaller fish still can't get into the entrance. And the second take home from, I've been looking at this, I've got this graphed out for at least 5-6 years or, well, since 2007. And when we made the change with the wall, we did see an improvement in fish passage going from 10% or less than 10 to greater than 10% passage. You know,
with the new 20% wall.
With the new wall.
The wall
yeah. And that raised tailwater. What that wall did is it raised tailwater.
It's bulking that water on that side.
It gave more fish an opportunity to get in. But again, it's the big guys that are getting in. It's not the little guys.
Yeah, because so, I think with the old wall, we were... we were looking at about 80K that was shutting everything off.
Right.
And yeah. It seemed to bump it up.
It seemed to bump
it up.
About
100K.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the rationale we had for moving it over there.
Of course.
So how do we capture this and so we don't lose it when we need it in, say, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years?
When we have another high year.
We have an issue and it's like, well, actually, I think, but instead
there's
I
nothing
think,
that we can do about it.
Yeah, what do you mean?
What this
well,
tells
I mean,
me
if
is
you
that
have some kind of operation where you're like, oh, it's what's the impact?
Well, like Thomas said, if the ladder shut down on their side, you could actually increase your spill up to 200K CFS to pass fish on this ladder. If it's an emergency.
Well, if it's tailwater dependent, I don't know if that would do any good because you're not going to, you probably wouldn't get your tailwater high enough.
Do we know that it's tailwater
that's
dependent?
That's
so, I mean,
function of high
could it be a back eddy effect or something like that?
What you could do is regular run Bonneville on higher. To try to increase your tailwater volume of the Dallas.
What this tells me is get the emergency AWS system done at this dam as soon as possible.
Yeah.
That's what it tells me. Well. Because we're going to be in a situation where we may have to choose between adult passage and juvenile passage. That's what it's
well, what this also tells me is that we better make sure those fish units, I don't care if they say, oh, they're 80% reliable.
Not good enough. Yeah, no, that we need a backup system. And that's, you know, I talked to Sean Tacklin yesterday about it. He's out to Dallas, or he's probably here today. And, I mean, he understands. This has got to be done.
Backup, and then we also need to go through and keep the turbines as robust as possible. I don't care if we have to increase maintenance on them or not.
Rehab them. You know, if there's cracks, let's get new rudders.
The backup system that we're talking about, it's not going to be that great.
This would be a disaster that none of us want on our records if we lose those two. Yeah.
Beauty turbine.
Did I say that?
I think so.
Did you say that out loud?
You loud.
I was just thinking that.
What can we do?
Okay. That's all I had.
Anything else?
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Nice little. All right, number 8, B2 corner collector repairs. I don't know what you specifically wanted, but what's the status? Or
This came up at Fitterwig, and I guess I asked it to also be discussed in O&M because it really wasn't a Fitterwig issue. And I guess the key, the point I wanted was to know what we were going to do, when. Is it all going to, are we going to go through and repair everything, just the worst? Falling issues or what? What's the plan?
It was my understanding they were going to go through and fix all the issues.
Everything.
Sorry. As far as I know, I don't know.
My understanding was after we the issue was getting back the Washington Shore Ladder back up. Once the Washington Shore Ladder's back up, they can dry the channel up, period. And then it was going to go in there and do a comprehensive fix of all the major areas that were identified. Now, there's a follow-on to that is that we're making these patches, but the channel needs a comprehensive look of why some of these places are peeling up or degrading. So we may have to go in out years and do something more comprehensive than what we're doing than just a patch. We may have to cut out a section. There may be other places. So
standstill liner.
Well, there's places, you know, even though we've gone back and patched them, they continue to degrade in certain areas. And a lot of it is where these expansion joints are at. So what are we coming up with? So, but anyway, this year's is to return the channel, repair the areas that do need to be repaired, and then have a comprehensive look at whether or not we got to do a larger contract to go out and
do more
maybe armor
or be more aggressive at a fix at each one of these joint areas.
My concern also was timing. Yes. I think I heard that this was going to be completed by April.
Oh, it'll be done before that. It has to be done before March 1st. That was
before March 1.
Wherever you heard the April number is not right.
We got something a little bounced around there.
Scheduled pushback because with us holding fish in 18, we pump water out of the sump into this corner collector. Normally that happens at night and people can be in there working, but with 18 having to hold a safety pool occasionally, they'll have to do that during the day as well. So it's going to have to push off until 18 can come back, but it'll still be done by March 1.
So we'll get it done by March 1, then there's no issues. I just was concerned. I didn't want to make sure. I didn't want to get into an issue where we may not have the corner collector when needed for Cal Passage if we saw
The plan is right now, there. You know, the hoist work that's going into.
Yeah,
that has to be done before March 1st as well, tested and ready to roll.
Okay.
All right. I missed 7, but before that, Scott just joined us. With the autograph.
I was going to say, I think he's got...
Do you have any updates?
He's got product in his hair. I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah.
How about an update on Chum? How about a Chum update there, Chum expert?
What would you like? Lots
well,
of them.
Just kind of a briefing.
There were 300 in the channel yesterday at Hamilton Springs. There's been as many as 500. There were, I believe they had 150 down at the mouth.
Excellent.
So, turned out to be a pretty good chum year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they're all staying where they're supposed to be and seem to all be happy at the moment.
Good.
We don't have a lot of water. I mean, the super robust year looks like more of a dry year at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're not
at the moment.
Raise the tailwater any more than we currently have.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And you guys are going to continue to do that rewetting once a day type thing?
Sure.
And there were 226 live on Ayers Island on the 5th.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Do we see the fall Chinook over top of any of these?
No.
Are they digging up any of the chum stuff?
They do it in slightly different locations.
Okay, so they've kind of diversified a little bit?
The chum are digging themselves up.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're digging themselves
up. Upwelling, downwelling.
Yep. Great.
Okay, thanks. So number 7, I accidentally skipped over.
You know, on that note, as far as the chum emergence model goes, man, was there any changes to that, Dennis? As far as the update on that, I saw that was on the AFEP.
Yeah, guys,
what's the status?
The emergence model. It wasn't what was presented at AFEP was just the final laboratory work showing. Fry tolerance to elevated gas levels.
Mm-hmm.
But the plan is for PNNL to come in to the core and turn over the emergence model to the core. One part of the emergence model, though, is the data that needs to go into it. And so that's data that BPA is collecting and continues to collect.
Patel, we paid for it. Patel collects it.
Right. So we just have to make sure that that's a concurrent operation that's going to feed into the model.
Are they updating the model since the area the model covered, it turns out the chum are now spawning outside of that? How are they going to address that? Are they just going to say?
Well, they're actually this year right exactly back where they should be.
Okay. So you guys feel comfortable with the model as is?
It's much more represented this year than was last year. Last year was very few numbers. This year there's, let's say, 200 and something fish right.
I think last year there was, 9% spawned in the areas that they historically spawned. This year it's much higher. So,
but as far as using the model, so PNNL is going to hand it over to the core, and we're going to be operating the model for this year.
The core is going to be using the input data that PNNL collects to do the model.
And who's managing that? Is that
well,
me? Who is that?
No,
who's the core rep?
Well, it'll be me.
You're going to be doing
And we'll get the model in house.
Okay.
And then we'll work out the issues about getting the data. I think it needs to. Once we figure out what the inputs we need and that kind of stuff, we'll have a plan path forward.
Okay.
And eventually, we may need to discuss if it's going to be out of the fish and wildlife program or it's out of line.
The data that BPA is paying for, the physical data, gas levels, water depths, all the hyperbaric flow.
Mm-hmm. The same stuff we've had for years.
Mm-hmm. The inputs.
Yeah, the inputs. So more to come.
Yeah,
but January is when Geist was supposed to come down and turn the model, or more or less train us on how to do the model.
Okay.
You know, so I'd say by February, and that's something probably you guys should be involved with.
Yeah, because it'll just come up in the whole chem operation, what does the model say, what are we doing, oh, it's April 10th, we're going to just
do whatever.
So, anyway.
Okay.
Cool. Anything else? All right, let's go back to 7 and the Dalles East exit Weir.
Okay, so I already mentioned that the project is working on the guides for the exit weirs in the East Ladder. However, the weirs themselves are starting to show their age, and so we have the small projects team out of district looking into what it will take to either rehab or replace. It'll probably be replaced because they're all red lead and it costs more to deal with that than just to replace the whole weir. But the point I'm getting at on this is now if there's anything that needs to be changed in those weirs, now's the time to do it. And we're trying to pull in the Lamprey group to look at those as well, because all those orifices are elevated on that. And I don't know if we ever did resolve exactly why they're elevated in those weirs.
Isn't this what Tackley's out there doing today?
They're looking.
You mentioned this today.
Well, that's what he told me today. Is they're out. He's out there with, I don't know who, but they were looking at Lamprey. Oh, it was Mary Mosier, I think.
Yeah, Mary Mosier. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mary. That's different. So they're okay. Looking. They're looking at. There's a couple just small ledges that coming straight from an orifice and dropping off a foot that they're thinking we may be able to ramp. That's something we probably could do this winter. They're looking at two or probably three of those.
So they're looking at specific things.
But they're not looking at this. But okay. I informed them that as long as they're there, go up and look at them and just try to have some input into it, because now would be the time.
So what's the timetable on that? To get in timely input, to have that incorporated?
As soon as possible. You know, small projects right now is just focusing on replacing in kind, so taking existing furniture and basically doing the same thing. If they're going to have to do any mods on that, sooner the better. Because the small projects team is due to come out the 14th of December.
That's when they're going to look at it.
The
weirs.
When's
their plan to replace?
So this is scheduled to be done this winter, then?
No, there is no schedule. There's no schedule right now as to when we're going to replace. Right now, we're just paying them to scope everything out on what it's going to take, what it's going to cost, and then we'll figure it out from there. So and then in addition to that, then there's the pit take group that has several alternatives as to where they want to put the antennas, and 154 was on the table, and then it looked like it wasn't because we were looking at count stations. Now it looks like it might be back, so that too might be incorporated into that. We're trying to get all these groups together to work on the same thing.
Have they looked at Simplify? Because there was talk that there's a couple of these things that we basically never use. The idea was to go back to just make those back to a fixed wear.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I know. So with some of us, because that would be a spot for, I don't know, a pit tech.
You know about the removable weirs? Yeah, that's. I talked at length with Tackley about that yesterday, trying to get that.
Yeah, from an O&M perspective, we'd love those things to go away and have some.
Yeah, I mean, you probably have to keep one or two, but you may not be able to keep all four of them.
I'm trying to get a meeting set up with folks to talk this through, because I'm thinking that we could probably get away with a lot lower detection efficiency at that dam would still meet our needs in terms of looking at inter-dam losses and melts. So.
Well, even if you put two of these on there, you're going to get pretty high detection.
Oh, two would be great. I'd even be satisfied with one, given the East Ladder gets a lot of the fish, and maybe the ladder we need to have a detector on to get the information we need to look at these losses. So that's coming up.
I don't know about that. Well, so how are you going to know if you missed the fish or if it was actually removed?
That's okay. I don't care about that. I've got a new model. I've got a new approach.
Oh, he's got a new plan. Oh, Lord.
And it will work. You've
been working on Excel again?
Check what's in his coffee cup.
I don't want tax stasis looking at it.
Trust me. I'm from the government.
I've heard make your life better.
I know when tax stasis was looking at it. I mean, they were definitely supporting the the count station. Put them in at the count station.
It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to take until 2015, and I don't want to take it.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if we do like a two-fold thing. If you put like one or two of this north end, we replace the things, and then when the count station comes in, then you have much higher detection efficiency at the whole time. But this would be a way to get in much sooner and get data sooner rather than data.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how many of the fish we need. How many fish, how many tags do we need on a daily basis to get a survival estimate or a conversion rate estimate to McNary Dam?
Well, what's the level of precision you care about?
See, I don't care about
looking
fish.
I'm looking at conversion from Barneville to the Dalles.
So. No, I'm not. You don't need that.
Well, Richie wants that.
I know. He and I have been talking.
Who's going to win that one?
Don't worry.
Who's going to
worry?
Be happy. You know better.
So I was under the impression from PAC States that the count station is actually the most cost beneficial one. And if you go onto any other weirs, you have each one is unique system in itself. You don't have anything interchangeable.
I don't want to immortalize those count stations either.
I know. I was thinking the telescope, if we're in place, it seems like an opportune time to do that. So I guess the question is, when should we set together a meeting and sit down and get sooner rather than later?
I'm going to run this algorithm out that I've got that I think would give us a different way. That's a totally different approach than what people have been thinking.
Has it gone through the SRP yet?
It will. It'll be fine.
Are you trading stocks with this?
God, this is simple. What?
Does your stock trading algorithm?
That's why you're still working. That's why I'm concerned.
This is simple. Guys, I can't believe it hasn't come up already.
So is Tackley, can we shoot an email to Tackley to get this going sooner rather than later? Because obviously we have all the right people at this time.
McNary, you got Bonneville. Because you got Bonneville.
You need to do that.
Sure. So Bob will set up a meeting with Sean and all the right people and as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Sooner. Soon being before
Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, we were trying to get it together on the
what kind of schedule we got in here.
Which is next week, but Richie wasn't available, so now maybe the 14th. Yeah, he does, because Cora's pushing hard for a complete picture of why we want these things in the first place.
And you can't carry that message why?
She's got a better 16th. Handle on this.
You're a bigger pain in the ass than Richie is, though.
16th's a Friday?
Did he just say?
Yeah.
Here.
It's on there.
It's recorded.
One comment I have.
That's a lot of head nodding.
One comment regarding those elevated orifices. I imagine that was probably done because of the ease of construction. So if we make a decision to get the orifices flush with the floor, I think it may increase the cost of replacement some, but that is probably prudent.
It may also be like an energy dissipation thing if they line the orifices up, maybe.
Or
could well, but then you could change the size. You could change the size. Well, that could be modeled, obviously, and calculated.
It's more complicated.
That's what you would do is probably offset. But that gets way ahead of it.
But I think it would be a prudent thing to do, right?
To
eliminate them. That's
why we need to get a meeting together, sit down, figure out what we can do.
Well, that's probably not what would happen, because you probably have to have a ledge, because you're going to need some separation between the rebar and the ladder and the antenna and the orifice. And
unless
ferrite tile.
Or unless you can build these new weirds out something else.
Well, you would. I think you could build them out of
fiberglass,
carbon fiber, whatever. I think you can build those. It's just that's not the issue. It's the issue of the antenna relative to the rebar and the ladder. We can get, so there may have to be a little offset there with ramps for ramp.
Or when you're building, you might have to do some cut out some concrete.
That's where it gets kind of messy, because I was hoping we could just design these things and build them off-site, bring them in, pull out the existing one, drop in a new one, and we're done.
All you have to do is space them about 4 inches off the rebar.
Or a
ferrite tile.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, that seems like that ought to be doable. I keep getting resistance back from the core.
Hence, we need to have a meeting, get this done right, because we're not going to be able to solve it here.
Sandy down.
So I'll get with Zach.
So you say
next week is possible.
Next Friday, perhaps, 16th? You said Richie's out on the 15th?
He's out on the 15th. I was pushing for the 14th.
All right.
I need to talk to Richie.
It says here there's a Ice Harbor runner Erdic trip, too.
Yes, they're... So, Ed's going.
So
you're stuck here.
All right, so
if you do 14th,
work on that. 14th, if possible, if not the 16th.
I'm just not sure if TAP is available on the 14th. So you're the 14th afternoon,
I can't
or
do 16. But.
Or 16th?
Well,
I was your
Sean's the one who should set this up.
We're giving you tentative dates.
Yeah, okay, but I mean,
that
let's have him in the loop, so.
Yeah, I know.
Hell Sean, yeah, you can.
Dates. How's it look? Send something out. Do it sooner rather than later. Move on, next.
Any, all right, so Bob will track that down and set it up, hopefully, for the 14th. Okay, number 8. B2 corner, no, main unit 18. No, where are we? Where am I?
9.
I already
number
jumped
nine.
There.
Nine?
Sorry.
Number 9,
thanks.
Okay, so.
The trolley pipe ROV on the 15th.
ROV inspection, so. We know for a fact that several of the trolley pipes for the JSATS equipment on the four-bay side of the spillway at Bonneville are in pretty rough shape. We've asked the dive group to come in and do an ROV inspection at Bonneville, scheduled for the 15th. So as part of that, we need to close bay 1 for about an hour while we're over in that area, then open it back up. And then also on the 12th and 13th next week, the PNNL wants to come in and pull their hydrophones out of the wing off the wing wall at Powerhouse 1 between Unit 6 and 7.
You can tell Gene that midnight would be a good time.
Midnight's a good time to come in and pluck those off of there.
What's a good time, Gene?
So we've asked them also to pull those up pull them up and then put new ones down so we don't have to come back in there a second time.
Okay.
So the plan for PNNL is to come in and pull them up and just replace them so we don't have to ask for another sluiceway outage in February.
What time do we close the...
What are these going to be used for?
Excuse me?
What are they going to be used for?
The data? These are the hydrophones for the JSATs to...
Survival study.
Okay. Lower Plumb Bureau survival
good
study.
Good point.
You don't think we need
one down at Bonneville this year?
Yeah.
Do we need one at Bonneville?
Right now, we're moving forward with one.
I don't think we need it. Given the results of the study from last year, your guys are done. Go back and fix something. We'll have that discussion.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's slated for...
So we have those bays are closed.
Spillway is totally tagged out. Only Bay 1 right now is cracked open.
Bay 1's only open during the daytime hours.
Yeah.
And those, it's shut by when...
It's
5:30.
And you close them at yeah. At night. You close them at
1700. So
5 o'clock.
It's in that right now. There's a table in that.
Is it an hour before daylight?
Or is it 4:30? 16:30.
It's at sunset.
It is sunset.
Right.
So it's about 4:30.
So can
sunset.
They do it then, or they don't want to do it?
Well, it, I don't, we could save it for the last if you want to. I mean, it's just it's going to be a very short duration.
You can do it the end of the day. I'm
it's a very short duration. I hate to put some limitations on it. It's, I mean, if you want it done in the latter part of the day, we can do that. So then it will start on the other side of the spillway. But
it's just that the majority of the day that thing's closed anyway.
Well, the majority of the day during dark.
Yeah, that's what lights are invented for.
Well, we don't want ROV and folks up in the four bay in the dark.
Oh,
please.
Scary.
I'm scared.
I'll propose to do it late in the day as possible. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it matters.
What day is
that?
That'll be Thursday the 15th. We'll schedule the closure of Bay 1 probably around 3.
Where's your graph of entrance for Steelhead? at Cascade Island.
It's going to be a very short duration, maybe 15 minutes.
1 hour. Where's your graph of entrance?
You want a graph of entrance?
Entrance usage.
Well, you guys are, you're the data fonts.
We don't have a fish. Like, I can tell you. I don't know if we have data for this
time
of year.
What's your effect on salmon? Where's your analysis?
Do you want an analysis? I'll show you analysis.
This is belligerent. It's recorded.
capture that belligerence in the notes.
Where's your algorithm?
No kidding. Your minus one algorithm. Just a second, I got my stock portfolio right here. I'll whip you out an algorithm.
Yeah, well, I'll show you that. I'll draw it out for you. Want. Where is it? Right here. Bonneville minus Neri.
Minus one. Thank you. Thank you so much for
it is simple. Doing what is that. Your what is yours? What's yours? What's your mind?
And Dennis, what do you need for the Monday the 12th and Tuesday the 13th for the powerhouse one?
That's gonna be a sluice way outage. That was John.
Do we have any data?
That was John's request, and so he was working with PNA. So we need to get a hold of John Rearsage to find out what hours they
take.
It's going to be pretty short, and I don't know if it's going to be either Monday or Tuesday, and that was still the question.
There are data.
So, okay.
If it takes data for the lower spore part of Cascade Island ladder.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
Just trying to make your spillway better.
Yeah, I was trolley
what?
Pipe I don't want to lose a trolley pipe in a spill bay. Yeah. I don't want to do.
You just had a little more debris in there.
You just didn't need to take them off anyway.
So Ben, we can find out from John either it's Monday or Tuesday.
I know he's planning on Monday.
Okay. Monday the 12th?
Yeah.
Monday the 12th.
I don't have time. I assume first thing.
I'm guessing, yeah, probably pretty close to 7 a.m.
Okay.
And probably a couple, 2 or 3 hours. Be about it. We just need to ask John how long. I think P&L said that it would only be a couple hours. By the time we have the whole iteration, it'll end up about 3 hours probably.
Anybody else comment? Question? Alright, now I can do number 10. There. Bonneville Unit 18 dewatering.
I was just
kind of an update on that, and where are we at?
Well, it's partially dewatered, apparently. It's in the tailwater. We're doing the full tail logs every Thursday afternoon, put them back Monday morning so the guys can work in there. For the most part, they'll be able to leave it at tailwater. There's a couple things they have to do. We're now required to do these, I believe they're called turbine intake inspections. TII, every time we bring a unit down, so it makes the outage a little bit longer and it requires them to actually get on the blades, so obviously that one can't be a tailwater, that'll have to be a safety pool, but that's still a lot of water. Just to give an idea, I talked to Lori Edner, and her guess was sitting at tailwater at 12 feet, at tailwater when it is 12 feet in there, we'll have 100,000 cubic feet of water, something like that, so it's not a puddle. I don't think it's an issue for the fish, but my question was, if we're going to do this again, which I bet we will at Bonneville, is there anything we can have that's more standard as far as some of the FPP for this kind of operation protocol, or if we debate it? Every time.
Why we
just got in there on last Monday and couldn't get fish out. It's too big. We flushed for too big. Too many we can do. It just takes us a long time. Too big.
Efficiency.
That's why they stopped doing it.
So yeah, Monday we flushed. Ran 18 for 3 hours or so. Put tail logs in as fast as we were able to put them in, and just throw it in the fish.
What does that translate to as fast as we could realistically? Is that like 3 hours?
2 hours?
It's a ridiculous salvage, is what it is.
No, the crane's very slow, is what it is.
Oh, I mean, but the whole process to get the fish.
Right, up the ladder into the elevator.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, great. But we can ask how long it takes to get the stop logs.
Well, I'm just curious, because you just think intuitively if you ran the unit. Got them out of there, and the resolution is as expeditious as possible. Getting the logs in, it just seems
it's crane's too fast. Yeah.
There's two logs too.
The solution is what is the potential solution is to have some kind of lighter, quick device that just goes down in, boom. So I think we need to.
You get a simple chain link fence and just
put in there. There's no current. It's right. Just a block. That's all we need to be.
So we need to come up with some ideas, maybe through a task group. The Sturgeon task group needs to start thinking outside the box here and how we can prevent that. But
because it's not the first time.
It's not going to stop, obviously.
It needs to be a slot, too, where you're not in the same slot as the tail log.
Yeah, a slot outside the entrance.
Yep.
You could drop in a louvered, trash rack, a 4-inch trash rack.
Corrugated fence.
But there are 6-inch, it would be the same as the entrance.
But everything takes, it's not exactly narrow. It would still be significant. There's no slot for it currently.
Yeah. No, you'd have to build brackets on there.
And then it's actually hard if you look at it because there's the parapet wall actually hanging.
Yeah, I wondered about that. It hangs over 40 feet. You'd have to build a slot, and there's a rail right there for the gantry.
Yeah, and if you lowered it on the tail race side, you literally have to lower it and skid it to swing back.
Yeah, so you can't cut through the concrete right above it there because you've got the gantry rails right there.
There you go, electric current.
Well, electric current, I mean, we talked about that as well.
Yeah,
I feel like it's worth having something. Well, we can do this in the meantime, but it's going to happen again. I don't think anybody really likes this process, but I don't know the solution. In the meantime, I thought, is there anything we could have that was sort of, when we encounter this, you do this, this, and this, so we don't have to try and gather everybody like we did last week at the last minute and get the okay and go back and forth?
The process you're using. Did you get Rick's request for the Sturgeon oxygen consumption and size of the pool?
The amount of water we're talking in there is about 100,000 cubic feet.
Okay, I didn't hear that. Okay.
Yeah, that's a tailwater of 12 feet, which is about where we're sitting at. When we get down to safety, that's a tailwater, and if we get down to safety pool, it's not significantly less because the vast majority of water is down at the bottom. Once you get up into the column of the draft tube, it's significantly less.
You would need more sturgeon than you've ever seen in your life to have the amount of oxygen in there.
I mean, when we get down to getting ready to salvage fish, it's well below safety pool. We still don't see them. So, I mean, you have to get down to
45 degree water, 46 degree water. I would write that up then as a process. I mean, that's the process is the safety pool or the full pool.
Okay. Aren't you pulling water from 7 feet
4 days
over?
On, four only days, if we have days to. Off.
Only if you have to.
Well, we're trying.
Well, there's headgate leakage.
When we can, we try to have water come in there and drain out, so you have kind of a semi-flow through system when it's open.
But you're talking 4 days. You're talking. This is a wintertime issue, so your temperatures are going to be 45 or less.
Yeah.
Which is pretty. Oxygen ought to be like 10 parts per million or better in there. So,
and when we get it to safety pool, we'll have the hatch open, so we'll have a visual. I mean, they can monitor and hold it.
But you would probably not do safety pool more than just 1 week, if I remember.
It won't be much. Yeah, we haven't done it yet.
And then it would be full, full depth.
Yeah.
And at safety pool, what was that?
At safety pool, you're talking about 30 to 40 feet of water. I know this doesn't make a lot of sense, 30 to 40 feet going up towards the blades,
to
but you're still talking probably 500,000 gallons. Yeah. I mean, it's a pool.
So it's so big in those B2 units.
Yeah. I mean, that's my feeling was that there's plenty of water, but just to assure yourselves.
They estimated 750,000 gallons at tailwater and about 500
at that safety pool elevation.
Ben, do you notice the same problem when you do other units where you could have, because obviously 18, you can't run units on both sides. Have we done that where, if you do an inner unit where you could run both sides, turbine units as fast as you could, and then lower tail, do you see the same problems, or is it just one of the end units that have
It's
problems?
An end unit thing.
Yeah.
We did 5 last week, and they had 1 Sturgeon.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Feel it's powerhouse.
It is, with the fully loaded powerhouse as well. I mean, we had a dead powerhouse, pretty much, powerhouse too, but the end units, I don't know. I think they're just right there. Just they're more in powerhouse 2 than they are in powerhouse 1. But
when do we switch from powerhouse? When do we have to get these out of there?
Well, they're not getting out. I mean,
when we're done, you run the unit. Because you do not run them all? I mean, it's down.
It's down. Yes.
For overall. 4-year overall. Okay.
How many
thrust
overall?
Thrust bearing.
We're going to shift unit priorities next week.
18 down for 4 years.
No, 4 year old.
No. 4 year old. That's unit 11.
Okay.
I'm saying that's unit 11. I'm saying look at the tracker, unit 11.
We got another one.
Okay, I'll write something up then.
Yeah, and then maybe let's. When's the next Sturgeon Task Group meeting? We can start planning, discussing.
Is there any hope to get this in the CRFM for a solution?
I would love to. That's where I don't.
I mean, that's the next.
I don't know
step.
How it's the best champion.
Would we get enough support?
Oregon. We put it on the list and then compare it out. I mean, like,
right, I mean, it's.
This for Iraq?
Yeah.
You're thinking for Iraq? Yeah.
Something.
I think I mean, it should be. Just yeah. Something like the sleds.
And for years we've been talking about
more than sleds.
Let's float an idea.
What's that?
More than sleds.
Well, it would be more, but you're not building as many. You build one unit.
Right.
Well, you're building two, because you have to put guides on whatever units you're doing.
Well, guides would have to be in all of them, but...
No, I don't want to do them on the end units. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think there's a problem in the end units. It's just the end units.
Yeah, but if you have a unit, if you have unit 17 down,
sitting there, you have to
down
do every
and you're
going to
take 16 down?
You're not going
to
get enough support to go do this on every unit.
First of all, you're not going
to
get any.
But you only need one set of these things to put in.
Yeah. No, one set, but then the guides. I think the guides are kind of expensive. You have to bring a diver into
it. We'll figure out how to do it. It's going to be the issue.
You may not even need a guide if you're going to get a bracket above. Because we're trying to keep out big sturgeon. So yeah. You've got a pretty big gap that you're playing with.
They can be a 6-inch rack, and then you just have guides, fairly L-bracket guides to hold them. It doesn't have to be.
I would.
But I mean,
big shit house.
But it's something we need to start working on. We've been working on this earlier. You're talking.
Come on. Big sturgeon exclusion would be ideal, but I would like to have no fishing.
Right. That would be the electric speed or something. You really fine mesh that's a lot tougher to get. But initially, the big ones is your biggest.
The issue here is going to be as you're running down those units. When can you put this thing in? The finer the mesh, the more head loss, the bigger pushback you're going to have hydraulically. So more open is better, but. How big a fish do you want in there or not want in there? Yes, all of them, or are you okay with little guys? But
yeah.
Well, where do we start to get this question?
You don't want big guys. So maybe 4 inch is good. Maybe you can drop a 4 inch while the unit's still, winding down. That way you can hit that sweet spot when the fish can't get in.
It goes in a minute.
Right.
It's fast.
Right, and it's a lot faster. But I think those fish are pretty fast too. I think they're like, okay.
They're only about 3 hours. Yeah, list velocities drop to a point. But, I mean, this actually might be kind of a cue for them.
Yeah. So, it'd be beneficial, I think, to be able to put them in while there's still some flow.
So, where do we go? Do we get a one pager? Do we go just get a proposal together?
You need to get a feasibility on a design or something.
Well, that's what you'd start with the CRFM.
First is you have to go to the SCT. This core, which can this be CRFM or does this have to be O&M? That's up to the Corps of Engineers. And then if it can go to CRFM,
I would argue. My argument would be
it's a modification.
It's a modification, and we did the sleds for the pinnipeds. Why can't we do them for the sturgeon?
That's a good argument.
But then it's not.
I'd try that.
And that goes to the SCT for.
I mean, if you guys will buy it.
Yeah. But it's more. You can probably get on there. Just gonna, what, how's it get prioritized?
Right.
What's it going to rank out of? It's going to be high.
Because, in the O&M arena is pretty.
Well, that's like DOA.
And this is for FY12 funding?
We can't.
You're going to be burning me out there with my boat. And some,
I don't see why not.
Well, it's a good year to get it in the budget.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because something
let's do it.
For feasibility, to do a feasibility study in FY12, yes. Okay. And then maybe something moving towards plan inspection 13.
Yep.
Go forward. So I'll put it on the agenda for next Thursday?
Sure. Yes. Good call.
Yeah, I think we can do it quickly.
Okay.
So are we killing sturgeon with what's going on right now?
We don't know. We can't be killing sturgeon.
Yeah.
What do you have in there? Thousands?
No,
I know.
I mean, maybe now we do, but
we're holding them, right?
Yeah.
And is that a concern if we hold them for a while, if the unit comes back and services that?
Well, we don't know. This is our first trial.
The only thing is, and also when you turn the turbine on and you slow roll, you're going to probably whack them.
Yeah. I mean, they just
anything it gets both ways.
But
right. Which
you see these in unit 10 or 1?
There's two things it saves. It saves on the potential for us killing them when we turn the units on and off. It also saves on the manpower. If you really did try to salvage what you got in there, it's about doable at the moment. Right?
Well, would kill them.
It's real stressful. I mean, God. I
mean, taking them up the way you get them out there is torture.
Yeah.
They absolutely can live for hours without air, it appears.
The other thing we need to think about is timing. We're lucky this happened in December. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could happen in June. This could happen in July.
Probably not. I mean, that's hanging
it. Like, no, we're talking. It's an oil issue.
Do you see sturgeon pile up in there?
When it gets warm.
Well, we don't see the.
The concentration.
We don't see those wintertime aggregations of them quite as bad, but you know the concern I have is we have the same potential not only on Indianus but on a unit that comes down with an issue that we're not able to flush at all.
Right, just shuts. It shuts down. And
yeah, and if we had something like this, we know we've got a problem that's coming down without that thing, and you have your time.
Yeah, I mean, that gives us. You know, if we have a major problem with the unit, we can say, in a half hour, in 20 minutes, we need to shut this thing off. Go drop those things. That gives us at least something instead of saying, oh, crap, we shut it down.
But you may not have that option if you land on a weekend and get a crane operator out there in 20 minutes.
No.
If the unit just crashes hard and is dead immediately.
I mean,
there's situations where...
You do your best to... hope it happens when you've got staff there.
This electric,
I like the electric idea a little bit, just because sturgeon are swimming in the bottom. You could lay some kind of grid along the bottom, and you know,
if there's no flow, and they get in the field, they're just going to drop out and lay there.
Well, you could also draw some in.
If you turn it on before the
big animals,
keep them in,
track.
But still, they'll come into the field, they'll hit it, and they'll just flow down, and they'll just continue to get shocked. There's no flow to flush them out of there.
You can have it on while there was flow coming out.
Exactly.
And then you drop in this lightweight gate. And then you put your collar away. Right. It's a sequence of things. Oh, possibly is what you're designing.
I don't know. This is for the task force.
Right. Yeah. But on the agenda bill, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
Okay.
And in the meantime,
an exclusion rack for Bonneville too.
We're going to write up a dewatering procedure for now in this kind of situation.
Thank you.
Okay. Number 11. Critfix Smolt Monitoring Video Project, part of the Upstream Migration Timing Project. Jeff's here to present. Do you need to plug it in?
Yeah, I need to plug it in.
Why don't we just take a 5-minute break while you're doing that so people can use the bathroom.
There you go. Or do you want to talk about the avian hate about the next one?
Talk about the next one while you're getting that? I can do that. I know people want to stretch their legs out. All right, I'll talk about the next one. This one's mine.
Exactly.
So the avian hazing plan, we have our annual work plan about to be signed with USDA for all of the dam-based hazing, boat hazing in the river. It costs about $1 million for the lower river. I don't know what it is for the upper river. We're at the point of doing our performance standard testing. Based on what data I've seen, is having this hazing, is it a worthwhile having this hazing or not? Because down the road, it's going to be an expense to us that we probably can't really afford. So my recommendation is to just have them on standby and go ahead and not have hazing this year.
You did see how close your performance standards were this year. We're exactly highly robust. We're like the 98-99%. You're pretty close.
I mean, it's.
Or how about reducing?
Well, or reducing, but I'd rather put them on standby. I mean, do they really do anything? The boat hazing outside of the array.
So like drop it.
And we're not going to be boat hazing below the dam, the bridge at the Dells. So my recommendation is to set up the work plan and have them on standby if needed and see what happens.
Somebody's supposed to redo the performance tests?
I think so.
Silence.
The other thing, is you install more lines. So instead of having hazing, you can install more lines.
If we need to. So, but I mean, we'll continue monitoring it, but I mean, is this really necessary?
I just had the Inland Avian Group pull the hazing and dam stuff out of their arena and put it into this arena earlier this week. Now I'm not so sure that was a good
idea. Do you want to go the way?
So I guess I'll have to be the liaison between the two. But It was a combination. It's the wires and the hazing, I think, that is imperative.
Yeah. But are we going to be able to do this long term for the next, from now until whenever? I mean, with the performance testing, if you can get it with no even hazing, then it's more money to put back into the dam.
Well, how close was the status now? Was it pretty close? Pretty close.
Not at John Day and the Dalles, it wasn't.
The Dalles was looking good.
We missed a little bit last
year at
the Dalles.
6.0s in there.
Yeah, there was 96.0. Where was that?
Yeah, that was, I remember which one it was. But
those Skalskis.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close estimates there. This is a dangerous track.
It is, but it's something
I don't have problems considering it, but I would not want to do this without having, I would strongly advise not walking away from hazing, even boat hazing. If you're going to do that, you're going to have some evaluation of what's going on out there and whether or not you're, you know, weekend hazers are going to be able to get out there in time if they see a problem. I mean, the whole point of having a coordinated activity, gull or bird avian activity network was to look for problem areas and have hazing address those, because we're not going to be able to throw wires up, you know, in the middle of the season. So that's going to have to be on the hazers. And we need guys out there that are ready to go.
I've got a work.
You guys get somebody down here?
I've got a work plan.
I've
got a work plan, and I'm ready to go, but I'd rather put them on standby on the side of the screen.
How do you maintain a crew on standby?
That's what I'm trying to
pay them.
Well, yeah, but when you say standby, like, where are they going to be standing by? They're going to be, like, 15 minutes away? They're going to be, like,
15 minutes away.
So you gonna pay me and my shotgun?
You plan to retire, didn't you?
I'm starting to like this already.
Well, I mean, I've got to work out a plan with them, but you know, if that's the standby for us to get past this, then I'm willing to do that.
Well, I know that we did not have the level of goal activity at the Dalles and John Day that we had in the past by a long shot, but
high flows.
We had high flows.
Yeah, it was John Day.
Kind of was the lowest now.
You had a John Day year before last.
It was high. We lost 100,000.
Yeah, but it's not making a dent in what we consider. I don't think I support going. Portland District supports going to a way reduced hazing effort. Serious. I mean, that was from the data we saw.
Well, that's the thing. I was thinking, you know, last year on standby, we could put them into
fishing.
About
hazing, we might, or the gulls, we might actually make standards.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we did at the Dalles?
Right.
Yeah.
The Dalles, we added more lines.
Now we made it, we're done.
Now we did it, so let's pull that hazing out of there.
Well, I mean, there's options, too. I mean, you could go into, you know, fishing is fishing removal, too, while they're there. I mean, what's the best effort for that?
I mean, if you can maintain a crew that would address a problem when it exists or when it crops up, and they can reliably do that, I don't have a problem with that if it saves money.
Would they cover
but
three dams?
They need to be effective.
Are we discussing the intensity of hazing? Because I think when we started, just looking historically, we hit it pretty heavy. We had boat hazing inside the BRZ, two shifts per day. Well, we have been kind of trying to determine that point.
I'm talking about reducing it almost 100%.
Because I think it's true that at times,
have a hotshot group there.
It may not be needed every day. I kind of agree with that. So it's, but there are times when they actually, I think I've seen it and I witnessed that they were effective too. So it's a mixed bag. It's not the same situation every day.
Yeah.
We have three dams. Bonneville's a dam-based hazing. And the pinniped hazing will continue. But the Dalles John Day is what I'm really after.
Your pinniped crew haze birds as well?
Yeah.
Could you turn them into a multiple function?
Yeah.
We know the pinniped doesn't really work.
No, how many do they shoot? Where's Ben?
So again, I suggest we do it gradually, because this year
we've got some tests coming up.
Why not downscale to one shift and make it flexible too? No, if that's that would be kind of, a cautionary approach.
So you've run this, Paul Schmidt, is he...
I've talked with Langsley and Brad about it, and they agree. They're willing to...
Well, neither one of those guys are tuned in with the issues, though. I mean, Paul's your guy for Portland District. And Nathan Zorich should be involved in this, too, because they've done research out there. So, and my remembrance of all this is that the hazing is what got us out of the issue. The wires don't work without some level of hazing, so...
Well, the thing is, though, we increase the hazing and we improve the AV lines at the same time, so we don't know which one was really
going to take it, or both.
And I don't
have a problem with that, but just walking away from it, I think that's
wrong.
We
added another crew, dam angling crew, last year, too. Was that the first year for performance testing?
Second
for
the
Dallas. Because
the other thing that was not held steady is we added a crew in 2001.
I think.
Well, I mean, it was very obvious that gull predation was much reduced last year from the year before. We've seen the examples over and over again here. So from
the pike minnow catches in 11 were higher than 10.
What's that, John?
The pike minnow catches in 11 were higher than 10. We're talking about consistency over a performance test.
Right.
I'm just saying that avian isn't the only predator activity that happened.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, point.
We've been pretty consistent though on our pike minnow removal.
I know, but we're talking about moving our crews up into the snake this year, so we need to coordinate that.
Think about that.
If you want to have the same level of presence.
It's another issue.
Second year testing,
you don't want to measure performance and then walk away from some of
it. My take is you'd have to throw that performance test out.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do it, fine. You met performance standards, fine. But you have to throw that test that you
maintain the
out.
Same level of effort that you did while you were
doing the test.
Just
do that
during the year we test, we'll have it during the test, and when we're done, we'll walk away.
That's not going to fly. I don't have a problem with trying to scale it back to what's effective. But what we said in the biop and what I'll hold to is that we said that there needs to be an effective program at each of these dams to reduce avian predation. Yeah. Effective is
And we think that is partially done with the lines. And we'd like to back away from the hazing effort as much as we can and see how well the lines do perform.
But I thought it had been already established that the avian lines don't work by themselves.
They don't. That's been established over and over again. So we can go to the mid-seas and talk to one of them.
Some level of hazing, that's what I'm implying. Some level of hazing would be necessary. We don't know what it is.
You need to make sure that Nathan's involved. I mean, you bring your core Portland District resources on this thing. I want to have them involved in this discussion, too. So Paul Schmidt needs to be involved, Nathan Zorich need to be involved in this, the fishery field unit folks.
So back to the dam angling then, so the same should apply to that. We can't drop that crew, right?
No, I think that's, as long as they're being effective and catching pike minnow. Mm-hmm.
So where does the funding come from? To you guys?
Yeah.
So your level of effort was going to shift those crews up to the Snake River?
I mean, we consider reconfiguration after every year. In fact, we would possibly adding another crew for 12, which would go up in the Snake.
But not reducing the load?
Well, not reducing, but possibly going to a different project. You know, McNary, the folks at McNary, and especially with them. Very interested.
I don't like the sound of this at all. Well, we know that the avian, that the hazers were effective, not too effective from the deck.
Right,
and
the boat.
This is the Dalles and Bonneville, McNary, the Dalles and John Day. Bonneville, I didn't see the level of gull activity. I haven't for years.
Isn't there a couple of hazers? There's the USDA guys, and there's another couple too.
There's the guys that are out there chasing sea lions, but. And I mean, that could work there.
Pot shots at the gulls.
Those guys, since there aren't many gulls, the issue isn't very much of an issue at Bonneville, then maybe combining.
So where does the sea lion hazing occur? It's not just one area like Bonneville.
And it's over.
It's on Bonneville Ebroves, but there's also Crick Vic in doing some hazing.
The issue there is
boats.
Overlap. Your bird activity at least upriver, goes beyond the sea lion activities.
Right.
So,
yeah. You know, I have, there's a work plan for each project.
Just having those
for
guys
USDA with hazing.
The sea lion hazing, though, if they all leave. Yeah.
But like, for instance, it's two boats available to wander. One boat is a rover, a boat at John Day, a boat at the Dalles with a rover.
The work plan's actually on the website, too.
So, I mean, I'll get these guys together and come up with a proposal and present it to you guys.
But I, you know, I don't have a problem with trying to make it more economical. It's just a matter of it needs to be effective.
Right.
It needs to maintain the
I understand, but...
Well, and just a thought on it. I mean, as budgets get worse, they're going to get worse before they get better. And we may be to a point where we need to decide: do we maintain a ladder, or do we fund the hazing?
Yeah, well, like STS.
Well, another alternative that we talked about earlier in the week at the Inland Avian was actually going after doing something with the Miller Rocks Gull Colony. So, you know, we recognize that it's a major funding issue, and if one of the ways to justify going after Miller Rocks was the savings of funds from the hazing efforts. Maybe that's, you know, it's just a different way of looking at the Miller Rocks colony, because in and of themselves they may not be taking that many fish, but if it's a very costly thing that we're doing to keep them from taking lots of fish, then maybe moving the colony out is a better way to approach it. So, you know, that's out there too. That's been proposed. We talked about it on Tuesday, I believe it was, or
Tuesday. Yeah, but the feasibility of that is more complicated with constituent groups than just having hazing.
I still think blowing the rocks up is the right way to go.
I disagree. One thing that we've been talking about in this forum the last couple, 3 years is a combination of, you know, the hotshot idea plus just the combination of crews, because as we all have observed, there have been times when they're catching or being successful hazing, and then there are times when they're down, and you know, you see a lot of effort and not a lot of catch. And the ability to do the avian and piscivorous, the piscine piscivorous combination. What we're doing this year and we'll be doing next year is we're doing a bass study. And it's involving angling four bay tailrays. Well, all the pike minnow that the bass crews are catching are getting put into the program.
They're going back in the river.
Vice versa, any bass that are caught damming are put into the study.
Okay.
So we're
we'll issue those guys rods, reels, and shotguns.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be the answer, really. The long term answer. I mean, if you look at it,
we are looking at hiring. So
Gary, you want to volunteer on that one?
Let's go.
And then harpooning pinnipeds as well.
What's it called, a hot shot?
I know.
But okay, well, I
get a cool uniform.
You know, if we are going to have a forum to try to look at these ideas, I obviously would like to be involved. But I mean, we should get especially in future years, because I imagine we're going to be doing predator management fish wise for
eternity,
forever.
As long as there's dams.
We're obviously we're going to need to do it for pike, you know, because once you do treatment, you basically have to.
You're kind of stuck with it. Yeah. You
don't want dams are. Our augmentation of that, but we should get together and try to figure out if there's some efficiencies we have with our avian work.
Well, I'll set up a meeting and I'll make sure you're invited, and hopefully, are you going to be available in the next couple of weeks, or are you going to be out?
I'm pretty open. I'm not going out of town.
All right, so I'll try to get that as soon as I can, and then we'll bring it back to you guys.
So,
but right now, I mean, the plan is continue with the work plan as scheduled, and
so you're looking at making a mod. Is that what you were put? Is that why?
It hasn't been finalized yet.
A mod for 12 or a mod for 13?
12.
So if your contract, I mean, just if your contract's $1 million and you're going to put them on standby, does that contract become a $500,000 contract?
I don't know. I'd have to negotiate
usually,
that.
Usually, yeah. I mean, there's negotiation, but usually standby doesn't save you as much as you think.
Yeah, that's what
I... paying for capacity and using capacity, yeah.
Not a lot different.
We run into that too.
My hope was to reduce and then have some good tests and then do it again and then finally say, okay, this is the level we need, we're done.
Part of the reason why we don't do damming anymore is they were not flexible, and they you know we were trying to do some testing and they were sometimes doing their own thing. But under the auspice of trying to maximize catch, but if you know you've got a four bay tail race test, you know, you got to, even though it's not performing well, you still have to, you know, put in the effort Otherwise, right. you know, your conclusions are screwy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One follow up.
With the new Lomo outfall, is that going to make hazing there a little difficult since that new outfall is a lot harder for the now?
Is it going to make what?
It's going to make the hazing there a lot more difficult. He's going to have to travel because he's supposed to cover the dam.
I don't know what they do there, but do they need boat or whatever? It's something
well,
to talk about.
The outfall so far downriver, they're going to have to, that's what I'm saying, is have they updated that with that in mind?
I don't deal with the Walla Walla work plan.
That's it.
Walla Walla?
I don't know
if they've up. This is Greg. Don't know for sure if they've updated that way, but we can get back to you on that.
You might need to.
I'm not sure how much.
But we might need to. I know they discussed a lot of, you know,
they don't have wires
type
on that
stuff
thing?
There, but but actually, having the officer go right down to the outfall pipe, I don't know for sure, but we'll get back with you on that.
Yeah, I'm just saying because.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying because I'm not saying Ryan's wrong. There's not going to be an eddy there, but. I don't think you guys spent a year and a half making sure that hydraulic model was calibrated. And if you do have an eddy there, you're going to get pelican just sitting there like we have in years past.
Yeah.
Under some conditions, yeah.
And with the outfall model, you have to take care of them. But now it's going to be half mile down river or a mile down river.
Yeah, and there's very unlikely that we're going to do any control for pelicans or Miller Rock Gulf. The problem goes all the way.
Okay.
I'll ask if there was something in mind about that.
Yeah, sounds like you guys are planning to put wires on it yet.
Well, yeah, definitely there's going to be wires down that way, but I want to know if there's more active type activity going down that way. Too.
All right. Let's move to...
one on that.
What's that?
On that exit weir meeting that we were talking about for December 14th. Would you guys be able to meet out at the project?
14th, is that next Wednesday?
Yes, it is. Wednesday.
Just get out of my commission meeting, so sure.
Because the small projects team is going to be out there the 14th, so that might be the perfect time.
Out of where?
For everybody
else. Dallas.
Small project. Out at the Dells.
Talk to Jacqueline. If Jacqueline can make it work, I
don't know if I can get Richie out there. I like to have him involved. So that's...
Once again, who's the bigger pain?
Are you ready for Derek?
Who's the bigger pain?
In a minute, yeah.
I'm hoping he is.
No.
At least on some parts of this.
Well,
okay,
put out that invite and hopefully it'll happen.
I'll put it up.
Make it happen. Say, Richie, you're coming with me.
He'd probably go. He'd go. He's not dead, so I bet.
Okay. All right. So let's get to the smolt monitoring video project. Smolt video project, the upstream migration timing project now.
Okay, well, I was going to talk about that. Let's talk about the video smolt and the stuff we've done over the last 3 years and kind of where it is. This project, for those who don't know, is developed in response to the Fish Pasture Center trying to decrease handling of fish and juvenile facilities to see what we could do with video. And it was funded under the Columbia Basin Accords. And what we did is we put a window in just upstream of the smolt separator at Bonneville Dam. It's a juvenile facility. And then we covered it we put a box over it, put the camera in, and put a couple of, the lighting was, we tried some LED lighting, just couldn't get sufficient light there, and ended up with a couple of these halogen lights that had to run the water over to keep them cool since they were designed to run underwater. There are boat docks down in Florida for docking your boat in these murky alligator infested swamps. Some of the problems, lighting, even with the high lighting, it's still hard to get a fast enough shutter speed to freeze the images. I had the camera set at 1/2000th of a second, and I really would like to have gone higher, but the image quality would degrade too much. We'll have thrown some more halogen lights out there, but it's kind of a limit to how much there's room for.
Jeff, what was this from last year?
Okay, you got it. Yeah,
211 high turbidity. This year we had high turbidity too. It's kind of a problem during periods. This year it was during long periods turbidity.
Is that video or is that still images?
Well, we took video. I'll show a little bit of video later as well. Some of the still images from the video.
Okay.
You could identify the fish passing pretty close to the camera, but you couldn't very far, especially when it was turbid. But even if it wasn't, it gets more than a foot from the camera. You've got about a 3 foot wide area here. You just can't identify a fish very well. We're also only viewing part of the height of the water column, although that is probably something to be rectifiable. The window doesn't cut go all the way up to the top. You really want to make this work, you probably can rectify this one fairly easily.
Do you need a crowd or two?
That's what you really need. Now get it at
awesome. No.
It's very difficult to keep the window clean. And it becomes increasingly difficult as the window
especially with that light.
You're progressing. Yeah, the light makes it a lot worse. Yeah, you grow a lot of algae, and algae gets very very hard to on the plexiglass there, and in the water is flowing so fast, it's very difficult to reach across and get enough leverage. You really need to get in there and scrape it. So when you dewater in the summertime in August, when temperatures are high, that's kind of clean up. But it's really too late. And that's amazing after that how fast the algae grows back. As the temperature warms up, you don't have much of a problem in April, but by May and this fall, it seems to grow the worst. And of course, it's difficult to review this. You've got a ton of stuff going by. Here's some images of what we. Some images of various dishes. You can see lamprey. You see quite a few adults. Here's one of our more interesting things we haven't stumbled upon in the upper left here. So it looks like a ray of some sort or another swimming around. We've got a little bit of video of him, a couple of seconds of him swimming around.
Get out of here.
You can see some moons on the ray? Adult.
Or is this starry flounder?
I don't know. It looks like a ray.
It looks like a ray.
Do you know what it is? It's got a tail like a ray. We've been wondering about that.
I didn't realize we had stingrays in the Columbia.
That is bizarre. It's an eagle ray.
It could be a reef.
No, it's definitely a ray. Look at the other pictures go around it. This is only one video. It's definitely swimming.
It's a fryer ray.
Considering how little video we looked at, it's kind of amazing we stumbled upon this, unless there's more of these in the river than...
Well, you know, I came back from Alaska with a bunch of them, I just threw them in there for you.
Oh, that's what... And that made it up the ladder. That is bizarre.
The ladder was falling back.
That's the juvenile system.
This is the fallback. This is the fallback rays.
Yeah, so it must have been on the ladder to come back unless somebody leaves.
Steelhead living.
Are they listed?
Yeah, so this one here's been here for 3 days. Unfortunately, you can't see the date on the bottom is the 5th of October. And he's had a distinctive wound on his side, so you could tell. You can see in October the video of where it's getting bad with the ladder. I think I came back the following week and cleaned it. It was pretty opaque by then.
So this is a steel living in that stretch
of
the flume.
Yeah, he's been in there for 3 days. I had another.
So he's in the flume.
Just in the flume there.
Living in the flume.
Jeff, do you have a way to measure? Is there like some scale to know how big these fish are?
Yeah, you'd have a hard time measuring with such a wide-angle lens here, and you don't know where he is in the water column. I don't know. Maybe you can make some educated guesses.
Look at the proportional differences between the heads and the body. It gives you some idea.
Yeah, up into the dark.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I guess he's probably kind of a jack, but I guess he's 70 or 10 average steelhead.
Did you say, okay, so the upper picture's on the second and the same fish came through when?
Well,
the bottom
on the fifth. He was seen several times during that period.
So over a 3 or 4 day period, you got fish holding in there?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
He could have been a multi-time fallback, though.
Same fish.
Loops.
Yeah, they just love that spot.
They will.
Our sockeye would do that.
Sockeye do. I don't know.
We had one steelhead that I had pit tagged a couple of years ago, and it was in the ladder for 6 days in the juvenile facility. It kept being detected. The adults have no problem swimming upstream.
They can
swim see it all the time.
They can hang out. Yeah, I mean, we know in deep water, and they're in there.
Yeah.
We knew that.
So we did some counting, just counted every 10 minutes every hour, every third day. And a lot of unknowns that far right column, the unknowns. A lot of the adults too, we got just juvenile adult salmon, even
Well, company's going back.
That's tough, the identification here in our peak day. We've got, you know, we got 107,
that's a high
well, 170 that were identified, 800 that weren't.
Presumably,
these unknown 50 adults passing by in one day. 50 or something. You do see a lot of adults. Surprising how many adults you see in that facility.
Yeah. Considering that the second powerhouse doesn't have any fallback.
Yeah, some ideas for coming with the, if we're dealing with the shortcomings, we wanted to do this. My original idea, which was trying to do something like you do with adult fish ladders, where you do a crowder and get them close together. And I mentioned that to Dean, and Dean Ballinger, and he quickly said, well, you'd have to have somebody there all the time to patrol for debris. You'd get a big piece of debris coming down, and you'd have a problem in no time. You could do something like this with smaller flumes. There's lots of those around, but the whole purpose of this was to try to not dewater and see what you could do with full flow.
Right.
Now I think this is a bonneville on the right here, and you might be able to, I'm sure you can set something up. Get these fish in a small area, not going so fast.
That's it.
And I think you could use PCA and get counts and that sort of thing. So the project's funded by, it's been funded by the Corps. It's being, the last part's being terminated this year and being folded into the upstream migration mortality project. But we could include some small component in this project if there was the desire and need to do that. That's probably why I wanted to give this presentation, just to see what people's reaction was to it, whether they had any good ideas about things where this could be implemented. As far as the McNary was an interesting exercise this year. Something a little bit different. I did a presentation in Skamania, PTAG workshop. Dave Marvin suggested an imprinting PTAG pose on video. We do that at our adult sampling. It helps us go back and recover if we have problems with our PTAGs. We've used it for lengths of fish. If the length seems wrong, go back and check it. And I hope to be able to get some good video. So we're going to use the pit tag fish and Hanford Reach for juvenile fall chinook this year, and try to run them through the diverter in the mirror based on the pit tag code. And then I was hoping to see if I could get a good enough video to possibly get an idea of the length of the fish to compare to what it was when we tagged it a month or two earlier. And so McNary, the fish come down through here, and then you can set this up so that the fish are diverted into this separator gate here, and then they end up into this pool, this holding tank here. And then the fish come down through here, and this is where I set up the video, come down through here and head out to the river exit. So here's what I set up. I built this box. I thought this would be perfect for measuring fish at good video of the area. Problem I had with this was it worked real well, except for the fish tended to hold in it. So I kind of filled in the bottom to try to get more encouraged and go through before I put it out in the area. Put a couple of cameras and had a computer nearby. Put a big tag reader over here. Worked pretty well. It was really kind of neat at night. It's reflective light. It's kind of like fish TV. Something to do at night, watch the fish go by. We sort of volitionally released them and tanked them into a tank upstream and just upstream of here, and no one volitionally released, although most of them needed to be persuaded to eventually get out. I use these LED lights that I bought for one of my earlier tries at the bottom of the smolt project. So here's the situation in McNary. The fish come down, end up coming down through this pipe here and out. And so right in here, and this is where I put the computers and some of the equipment in there. Now here's what happened when I tried running the water through McNary. It was just in the area when I first turned this on. Two problems. One, I couldn't see anything because of all the turbulence created by that interface. The water's under a lot of pressure here. And that interface from round to square.
Yeah.
It's going to expand. Soon as it expands,
it didn't work at all. The other problem was it didn't turn to be very watertight. It would tend to, especially when you turned it off. The back pressure would just boom and raise the top off, water would be all over the place. So I ended up, so I ended up replacing it with a, with just a clear piece of pipe, a couple of cameras on the side, one on the top. Should have built a little bit bigger box and kind of cramped in there. And I also built kind of a pressure relief valve here, because every time you turned it off, the whole thing just shook.
Water hammer.
Yes, the water hammer was just amazing. And this is the basic setup here. There's some video of that. It really was pretty good viewing there. Once I got the pipe in there, it worked out pretty well. Then I had to, if I had the pipe uncovered, I'd have a lot of bubbles coming in. But once I covered the pipe, it worked fine. And my relief valve. And then the heater's there. Anyway, here's some of the pictures that I had. I have here some of the fish going through. And here, too, the fish were just going so fast that I was lucky.
He's going through some warp speed.
I was lucky to get one frame per second. So the fish, a lot of them were all every different orientation. In this, I'm wondering if they're scraping against the side as they're going out. This almost looks like there's no water interface.
Sliding along the edge.
They're sliding along the edge. Yeah, you see this on some of the some of the fish. That's what it looks like to me. But I'm not certain of it. But. And then the tag reader, then we got the tag code imprinted on it. So you could go back and look at what this fish was in Hanford. I had a few problems with that. Unfortunately, by the time I got this all working, I only had a few days and a couple of trips out there before they pulled the thing for the year. But here, too, you see a little bit of that. Again, it looks like on the front end of the fish. Looks like the fish are, it might be scraping against the side.
What was the frequency of seeing that, where they were pushed against the side?
I don't know. I could go through and look at it.
Just curious.
Yeah, it's going to be a good thing to look at. It's pretty high. I'd say 30% or so, roughly. I've taken pictures of all these. I've taken screen prints of all these, so I can go back. And
this a full flow pipe?
It's what?
Is this a full flow pipe? Just a portion of the pipe?
It's a 4-inch.
No, the pipe's running full.
Running full, yeah.
It's pressurized.
Yeah.
It is pressurized.
A lot of pressure. These fish are going by really fast.
That might be what's causing some of that, I think. If it wasn't full flow, it might not be. So many fish running against the edge. I would hope.
Normally we don't run full flood. What's this pressurized though?
It's under so much pressure that there's any way you can have partial flow.
If you slam the valve, that'll water hammer, that'll cause pressure, but otherwise they shouldn't be under any pressure. We don't design pipes with pressure.
The tank is way above, so you've got just the gravity.
Right, but it still shouldn't be running full flow. Good reason to shut it down?
Well, open there.
Yeah. I didn't hear anything from the wall crack.
Yeah, we're good.
I don't think this is used very much. This is, it was available. It apparently hasn't been used much in recent years.
Yeah, we run full bypass every other day, I think.
Yeah, it's only every other day. I don't know. I'll have to be interesting to compare it. I don't know if I've got enough, but just survival of the fish that went through this versus the ones that didn't.
It's just that you may have some more delay in here.
So I actually used two computers. One I actually hooked up to one camera, the one I had hooked up, one that's got four cameras in the one. Although the one downstream sometimes didn't detect the pit tag. When the video was until after the fish had already passed. And sometimes it happened with fish upstream, too. It detect the fish, and by the time it got down to the video, it wasn't detected. Anyway, there's one that's kind of upside down, or sideways, I guess. So here we got it on two cameras side on the top, but it wasn't visible from on the top.
Dead fish.
So in the canary lessons, fish going by very fast, making it difficult to capture them at 30 frames per second, and often we only got a single frame, or partially here a single frame. And often we get two frames of them, but sometimes it'd be one or even partial fish. The fish are also oriented every which way, making any sort of effort to measure or difficult. It doesn't appear to be very fish-friendly way for the fish to go. So, you know, again, I mean, Harry, there would be other places you could do something like this, where the fish are going a lot slower, you know, the exit to the where they hold the fish for transportation, for instance, fairly easy to stick up.
Sounds like they're going over velocity criteria.
Something on the end of it.
Yeah. We're talking about going into the pit tag antenna box. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm just saying that you could put. There are other places where there's smaller flumes at McNairy or elsewhere where you could do something like this, where the fish are going slower.
Yeah, no, the area you just described, though, was that going into and exiting, going round a peg, round a square, and that into the antenna, the present antennas? Is that what you were videoing?
No, I was thinking of where the one of the places I've noticed is where the fish drop into the holding area.
He's asking where you took the videos.
Oh, where I took the videos? Oh, the videos at. McNairy or Bonneville?
McNairy
is right where the fish come out of the fish you can separate by code for sampling and whatnot. There's a big tank with a corrugated pipe that runs through it, and I put it right there.
Okay.
So you were saying inclusion of this project video hasn't worked that well. Two sites tried. Well, it probably could if you had lower flow. And less width of water, depth of water to look through, and a situation like Bonneville, easier window cleaning. It wasn't a problem at McNairy, but then I only ran the thing for a couple of weeks, but it was pretty easy to take apart, and it would have been easy to keep clean, too. I didn't need it, didn't produce much light either. So, well, I was going to show just what some of this. Maybe one of the days when we had we had quite a bit of fish going. This was one of our heavier fish days. That's kind of average. I think this is fairly average video quality. I got some sharper stuff and some that's, and certainly when it got more turbid or when the algae grew in the fall,
we had some much more stuff too.
This is Bonneville, yeah. There's the plastic bag going by.
I don't mind.
That's not continuous video, though, right?
No, this is, you look at the timestamp down here in the lower right. No, this is an effort to try to just record motion. We've got a DVR to record continuously.
More garbage.
And this one actually edited fairly well. It didn't look too good. I think there's some adults in here, too. Other than adults.
Going down back.
Oh, that's here. Show us that ray.
Oh, I didn't bring that one along.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
That was
all exciting. That might be your claim to fame right there.
Yeah. The Columbia Nest Monster.
Coming down to us.
It does get the counter or something interesting when you look at it once in a while. We'll find something unusual.
Sharks.
The novelty of reviewing this quickly wears off.
Yes.
Especially I'm trying to identify it.
So how many false alarms do you get per fish?
You get a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you start getting algae and the lighting is not really warm. Here's this one here, and again, this one here worked real well. You almost got pretty solid fish in here, and there's a little debris going by. But
and this was this year. This is 11, so
yeah.
This is...
So what was your primary objective here again? Were you just kind of seeing if you could do it, or were you trying to quantify how many fish were going by?
The whole idea was trying to quantify what's going by, see if you could substitute for any of the handling done at the juvenile facility and elsewhere, and try to reduce the number of fish handled.
So your conclusion was that you could or couldn't quantify?
I think the conclusion is this site you could. I think you could if you dewatered, but then you're adding an impact to the fish, which is part of the purpose of trying to avoid. If you dewatered and got these fish in a smaller flume, I think then it becomes more feasible to do this sort of thing. But, you know, on the other hand, you need to have the staff there anyway to maintain the place. And, you know, it's the advantages of putting this in versus handling a few hundred fish a day. I don't know, it's kind of a F-time level.
Well,
decision.
If you could have done this full flume without having to run fish through the facility, that would be an advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, if you could do that, covering.
That
so
would be
I think you still, to make something like this is worth it still.
So what about out of business water altogether?
Hydroacoustics, could you do it with hydroacoustics?
Yeah, it's just, well, can't get species.
It's lost the county rep.
I think working on acoustics is such a small area.
Or condition.
Problematic, too.
Well, the only thing I could see that might be doable is to look for steel accounts.
Yeah. Although it would be easier to look for them at the grape there. Where the,
that's what they're doing.
And that's what they're doing. I actually did give them a computer and a camera and everything, and they've been using that to run the same software to try to get rid of the blanks or stuff. And I think it's been working pretty well for them.
Yeah.
Not really part of this project, but had an extra computer. This is my evening weekend job, things, software for helping count fish. It's become more useful in some of the cryptic projects and trying it out.
Well, thanks for bringing it in.
Yep.
Now that ray will come up over and over again, I think. Now
I like to see
take
it.
A closer look at that one and maybe see if you can
send you the video we have of it. It's only a few frames.
Mutated catfish.
Yeah, the ray listing. It's a single. Critically endangered. Not that I know of. I don't. That is bizarre. That's, you want to look at that about every which way you could to make sure that's really what it was.
Just that he lived that long in fresh water is amazing.
Yeah.
Also regulating and.
Well, the problem is it's above Bonneville.
Yeah. So
he's
got to go above through the ladder. And then
Unless
through
he was an aquarium fish that
somebody released
in there.
Right.
That's what you're wondering.
Threw it in there. And then it, you know,
like a piranha showing up or whatever.
Did they release any ballast water? Any barges release ballast water or anything?
Could have been a pet.
It's possible.
Eight, who knows.
Still, the sighting of it there is interesting.
John, have we ever had any rays reported?
Not been seen at the monitoring facility.
Ray can make it, and a shark can make it, right?
Right.
It would have gone over the rack if it had gone through when you guys were sampling, probably.
That's weird.
Yeah. All right, we got one more task group updates and then some change forms that we can get out of here. So.
Well, there's one real quick announcement I got to make.
Make it.
You retiring?
My turn?
Make it. Go ahead.
Hot off the press. I just received information. Ann Setter's been selected as the replacement for Tim Dykstra.
Congratulations, Ann.
Congratulations, Ann.
I don't know to say congratulations.
Well, yeah.
Condolences.
That was kind of tough luck, really.
Tough condolences, maybe. No, we wish well.
Ann, how do you feel about it?
It's a good change for me, but yeah, you guys are gonna put me to the test a lot here, trying to live up to the challenge.
Yeah, we were being nice to you.
Now that we know you're permanent, wow.
We were being nice. Now the gloves come off.
It's scary.
You can handle it. You can handle it.
Yeah, she can handle it.
All right. Well, thanks. Congratulations, and we'll see you at the next meeting. Task group updates, AFF mods. I know that there was a meeting. I did not get to attend it back in November.
November 21.
November 21st. And I know there's a memo, or actually, I guess, meeting minutes, so to speak, from you.
No, they're not minutes. At least that wasn't my intent. They're more. It's more of a memo that captures the... purpose of the meeting and the general things we talked about and some of the potential improvements, and I've listed them out in a near-term, short-term, near-term, long-term approach. I think the short-term projects, in a nutshell, could probably be done by CritFic for the most part, but near-term is going to require some project fund, probably O&M funding, to improve, maybe from AFIP, I don't know. That's up to you guys, Corps of Engineers. But basically what we're saying, I think, or at least what I'm saying, is that the Corps has some, as a result of this memo, some things on their table, on their plate to look at. The near-term projects, I think, are doable, fairly easily doable within a maintenance cycle.
You know, it's something you can do over winter maintenance season, but it's going to take some design. It's not something you can do this year. So I'd say doable by, you know, 13 season. The long term are, you know, just ideas. The basic thought was to how do we get fish into the system in a much more benign and quicker way. Not as many fish, get them in and through the system in a quicker manner. Lots of different thoughts there. Probably nothing's really fully baked in that arena. It's more of just ideas. But what I think the bottom line is, what I put in here was that I think from an O&M standpoint, we need to raise this issue to whoever, REOG, where we get multiple agencies who will actually attend the meetings to talk about dollars and cents. And I think it's more than just a core responsibility. It may be a regional responsibility, and money can come from multiple agencies, but we need the heads of those agencies there, or at least somebody represents us at that level, policy level, to talk about this. So that's the only way we're going to get this thing to move forward in a long-term project way. So, and you know, I went through, at least in the beginning of the memo, some of the reasons why we see this facility continuing to be needed and used, regardless of what Rock says or anybody else. It's being used. There's lamprey mods that are being implemented, and we have no idea how many more of those are going to come down the pike in the next few years. So, you know, those are needs. And then there's, you know, obviously some harvest issues too, which are buy-up required. Not your buy-up, but others in the region. But it's, nevertheless, the facility is being used, and as long as the Corps provides the facility, opens the door, it's going to be used. So my recommendation is to put a battle lock on the thing or improve it. And I think improving it is a regional issue. It needs to be.
So is this memo a NOAA fisheries memo, or is this just kind of...
it's a recommendation. I think this is what we talked about.
It's a task group.
Through maybe a bit of my filter.
Okay.
So, you know, I did send it out to the task group for review. I got comments from Ed Meyer and Pritvik. John Whitaker provided comments to me, too. So nobody else did. Everybody had a chance to comment. So I guess in a way it's kind of a memo from the task group, but I did sign it that way.
Okay.
So you can take it as a NOAA fisheries recommendation if you want to.
Something I'd just like to emphasize what you said is the post-construction testing. It's like all the mods that are going on, they have to be tested. It's a requirement.
It is a requirement.
Rock says there's no reason to have the thing. I mean, if you're going to be putting it on, there is a reason to test there. So yeah.
As long as it's open, too. I mean, that's the thing. That's my thing. If we're going to, it's a core facility. It is a core facility. And it's open for business, and it's going to be used. So
that email.
You know, you can view that either way you want. I don't care, you know.
Hey, Greg, we can hear you, all right?
So, anyway, I think as a recommendation to FPOM, and I think this was basically an FPOM subgroup, what is to carry this forward, maybe as a recommendation for a REOG presentation.
Okay. I will take that to our REOG rep and see if I can get it on an agenda.
Yeah, and I'll talk to ours as well, and others should, if they're interested, do the same thing. But I really think it's an FPOM issue. It's not just NOAA fisheries or PREPFIC or whoever, or otherwise it's just going to fall flat. I'm getting tired of it.
Well, I think at least we're talking about it more than we have
well,
before.
Well, I think we have some good ideas.
Not another year's gone by. So we've been working, plugging away. We've got some kind of a plan laid out.
Yeah, I think this is a skeleton of a possible plan. And
it's a funding issue. No.
What I really want to do is get the funding issue discussed, and I'd really like to get the other agencies to step up to the plate on that. Harvest is important to the region. And this is important to Harvest, and
the region should pay somebody for maintenance.
My concern with that is that they're going to feel that they put a bunch of funding into it, now they're going to want to do studies on it. So now you have
but they are. Look
two
at Washington.
People in there, but then you have four or five in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we usually do. I mean, well, not four or five, but two right. or three. We have Washington there, we have Kutfik in there, you have Idaho. Depending on what's going on in a particular year, it could be as many as three user groups. So, you know, they need to think about paying up.
Right.
Or charging rent.
There you go.
Use it,
you got
charge rent.
There you go. Ooh.
I know if Grant County PUD owned it, they'd be charging us a bunch of money to use it.
That's just because they're
rent could go
I should start holding their fish hostage.
You sorted my code. Sorry.
I got my wild brood stock for Ringgold. All right.
So who else was at that meeting?
John was there.
Ben was there for a little bit.
Ben was there.
So anybody else have any?
I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about it.
I don't really.
Okay, that's the, yeah. It can be carried forward as a subgroup memo, I guess, if you want.
Okay. Enough said. Sturgeon Task Group. What's up with the tank?
So far, complete failure. We've tried through three different groups to get folks some instructional for us. All seemed very interested at first, and all have eventually said not for good.
Why?
I don't know. For various reasons. One, didn't need the business, apparently. Said business was good. Didn't want to do custom stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible, but that's... The other one just disappeared, and now we're thinking we'll just... build it ourselves.
And this is for
it's not really our
salvage operation.
Sturgeon tank, yeah.
The second one. Yeah, something bigger and more appropriate. The other one is it's okay, but it could be better when it comes to dumping fish and everything else. And some of the limitations of that tank led to the criticisms we got last year when we had that massive number of fish.
Yep,
so
I remember
just
that.
Just trying to make it better and bigger.
Hey Ben, is there any grade school or any high school in the project?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think our welders can do it. We're really hoping to get some feedback from people that build tanks, some back and forth, and we've got nothing, so we'll just do our best. And it'll be better than what we have.
Just keeping the sharp edges out and making some...
Yeah, the release mechanism is the tricky part.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we swing from the ladder over to the forebay, but right now we have to have a bridle to the main line and the tag line that goes down to dump it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky to do for a crane operator. It's all out of sight, so it's all by a signal man. But then we have to do it above the water level so we're not dipping into dynamic low conditions. And,
Ernie was talking about doing like a open bottom
clam.
Yeah, I mean, open bottom seems ideal, but it's hard to make it watertight, and I don't know how you know, because it's not always sitting in water when we're filling it with fish, so it needs to hold water for a fair amount of time. And I just don't know if you're going to have a seal problem or
just like a flow line.
Just the end, if the end plate was such that it just dropped.
We were going to have some way to do that, but then you need, if you're not going to tip it, do you need a false bottom or something slanted inside?
A little slight slant, but it wouldn't have to be a lot because that water's just going to go whoosh and they're going with it.
Yeah.
Have you talked to any of the crane companies?
They're going
to
fight it.
The large crane operators? No. My guess is they deal with this all the time, and they're dumping buckets or have buckets and things like that. That's all this is a funny bucket.
Yeah.
So if you talk to them about...
When you're dumping debris or fish.
It's the same kind of emotion.
You
want to
get
you pull it up,
all out of your bucket.
You set it up. It's like a giant bucket.
Yeah. But when you're dumping stuff, you're not worried about injury.
No, but I mean, you can make the bucket smoother and such.
Right.
But the pick points and the turn and how you hold things, that's what they're... The engineering part is the part you're scratching your head over.
A little bit, and just the functionality to go from, you know, what we have to do now is have to set it on the deck between a pickup and a dump because you have to change bridle setup to allow them to put it back in to get more fish. They come up, they set it down, they switch bridles, put the tagline on it, move it down. It's just not efficient, and we have that many.
So we're hoping for something. Construction, the guys that did the work up with Elf, I mean, they're down here downtown.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you have any contacts with them. I guess it's those guys know how to do different, probably have different buckets.
Sure.
Okay. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there must be something. I'm just thinking.
Also, the firefighting helicopter, too. They have the same kind of similar design with the trap door that comes out.
On the bottom.
Yeah,
on
it's
the
not bottom. Big, it's not big enough to get sturdy mounted.
Right, but I mean, but you can upsize it. You use the concept of the door and how it's sealed.
Yeah, is that like a radio control sort of?
I don't know.
It's a pole. It's a long
pole. It's a pole.
I used to hook those up to the helicopter. I think it worked very good.
Okay.
Then you can have some kind of a door that opens with a big, you know, you can do it on a solenoid, radio controlled solenoid.
I mean, the current tank looks really good. It's just a giant slide that goes out. It's fish damage is a problem. If you're trying to do those kind of things.
Well, just because of that sharp edge. I mean, if you can pop the front door of the thing so it's level, everything's
like that. But that's the ceiling problem. I mean, that's the beauty of our current tank is it's just a tank. There's no valve. There's no nothing. Just you're out of there.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's but giant you've got that.
So you just make a different design of that with more of a lip coming out and a little bit lower. And
yep, slant up on the one end, and that's where I think it's more like a drag bucket. Mm-hmm. It's a shape, you know, drag buckets aren't smooth enough, but
right. It's
the same where you pick it, where the two front parts are, what the light angle is. That's all we're dealing with.
Seems like it might be better if it dumped from the side. Because your fish are in there lengthwise, and if they're going over the end, they're having to bend to go over it. If it dumps sideways, they just flop out to their side.
That's probably okay as long as
it's belly flop.
Sharp.
Yeah.
Belly flops not fast.
They're going those first.
Yeah.
We're going to close right now. We're just going to do it, so we're going to.
All right.
We're not going to have it this year. Obviously, we don't probably need it this year. So hopefully we'll have it for next season. And as far as the camera, I talked to field unit guys. I don't think they've put that camera in yet. They were talking about putting it in this week, but I think we probably already have Sturgeon in there. The point was kind of to see when they come and go. I guess we could see potentially when they go. They're going to put it right inside the entrance, Cascades Island, I think soon, this week or next. So. Maybe we can monitor and leave it there through next year as well, just to get a feel for when we're getting our fish coming. We kind of know we're getting a better feel for it this year because we managed to take the E-branch now with zero sturgeon in there. And yet, you know, 2 months later when we did 18, we couldn't, no matter what we did, we can't get them out. So I think that's kind of the timing.
Winter aggregation for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are sea lions there, but not.
Yeah, but just a few.
Stellars.
A few stellars.
Yeah. Four?
Yeah, but I don't think that's not going to hurt all the sturgeon into a corner.
Yeah, I was wondering, is it more like almost like a spawning sense?
That's that, or overwintering, feeding aggregation, or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Or a temperature thing.
Maybe it's a temperature thing. They'll hold together for warmth. Who knows? I don't know.
It's all sizes, for sure. It's definitely full size.
We've seen some weird things with sturgeon out there.
Look at those balls of sturgeon. You're going, why?
Oh, on the corner collector that one year, they were all feeding along there.
Where's that? The spillway?
Climate.
You see it all over.
It's climate change, man.
Yeah. You see the snake, too.
Balls of winter.
Yeah, balls of sturgeon. And
climate change.
Common. I think those guys that attracted Bjorn when they worked for USGS said they'd see them disappear this time of year from their study area down in estuary and end up, I'm sure they're coming up to us.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Can you go ahead and jump right into the VBS task group discussion?
I can, but I'm not real sure what we're doing.
I think what
it looks like you're meeting in January.
Setting up a meeting, and I would suggest maybe in the afternoon of the 12th.
January 12th.
We have time.
What's the 12th?
It's FPOM.
FPOM.
If we have time, there's FPP issues to talk about, so I don't know if that's an all-day meeting.
No, FPP is the 20th.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to bleed over.
Sure.
20th.
We will not be discussing FPP at the January FPOM meeting.
Okay. That's fine.
Because last time we did that,
that's right.
It didn't work out.
Don't cry.
Well, I think that's what we're doing. In fact, that's what this is. This is setting up process for the FPP, so whether you like it or not, you will be talking
right.
about
we'll
it.
We will not be discussing the existing change forms on the 12th.
That's fine.
This will be
chocolate.
A new one. It'll okay. come out of here. It'll be FPP.
Are you guys putting together a change form on this one?
Do what?
I was saying, I was looking at Noah, the Noah rep. Are you guys going to put together a change form for the BBS?
No, you are. At this meeting.
No.
Okay, so you're having a...
What this meeting is for is just to look at how we're doing the BBS.
Task group. VBS task group meeting after the FPOM on the 12th, so plan all day for FPOM.
When do we pull the screen?
What else would I do with my 12th?
Yeah, what is the...
There's always a plunder retreat.
Just everything related to...
I think it's the objective of this one, at least I think. What I was thinking it is
it's going to go like...
Finally work out the issues of when we pull STSs or cleaning VBSs. At some point they become plugged, we can't sustain it. We've got to pull the STSs. We pull the STSs, when do we put them back in? We want to make sure that process is laid out. I mean, some of it's going to be your judgment, but we want. I was a little concerned about when they went back in this last year. I thought they could have gotten in a little earlier, but we didn't have criteria, really, to guide the going back in part. So,
and we also, you look at the impact it was to like our ability to detect pit tags by doing that, it was pretty big.
Oh, it screwed up some. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, so...
We're balancing.
I know, we need to see, is there something else we do to maybe keep them in longer and keep things safe?
So I think it's just to take a closer look at that issue, since it happened once, we thought, well, maybe this isn't a big deal, it won't happen again, but now it happened again, this time for a lot longer, most of the season, so okay. I think we need to rethink it, think through it. If there's some long-term, if this system isn't built properly, then it goes back to the design process.
Okay.
It'll be us.
So we're going to take the flip.
This team that says that. So.
We're going to take all the stuff you put out in the FG improvement study.
I did? I think that was Dennis.
I think that was yours.
I don't remember that.
Dennis, you going to comb over there? Need some more chocolate?
Listening.
More chocolate? And usually you got some kind of smart-ass remark.
Help me.
Yeah.
Dennis, help me.
It's Christmas. There's a really Christmas present.
Someone's bought coal in the stocking.
It won't be coal either.
We're trying to fix that gate well. The VBSs are definitely... If you want to stick with your fry criteria, then it's going to be... You're going to have this animal to some extent, so...
Okay. Well, it's screw fry, yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying... If we want to protect fry and lamprey with that screen size, we're going to have to deal with the debris issues that we knew were going to be problematic.
Yeah, I guess I think maybe we've learned some lessons in the last, or at least seen some more, have more experience with this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's revisit the criteria. We can modify things a bit. Mm-hmm. It just really wasn't a good system. I mean, so many things out there depend on getting these pit tags at Bonneville. And we have a good bypass system, but it works. It's just, is this something we want to be doing every year or in the future, every time we have high flows, high debris, which could be...
Often. Every year?
Do we continue to do it this way, or do we have to go down another road? So that's what I thought we talk about. Well, then how do we get detections?
So for the 12th, you're going to bring out the existing... procedures, review them, and come up with some new recommendations.
If needed, I think
look
the main
at the data for pit tag.
When do we put those screens back in?
The criteria for reinstall.
I'd say that would be my biggest.
The criteria you were using was fishing, right?
It was drawdown.
It was drawdown on.
Pretty much, yeah.
Had to lay that out a little more.
Okay.
First, did you guys touch on McNary screen cleaning while I wasn't here?
No, we did not.
It appears to be an issue on the horizon.
McNary screen cleaning.
Trash rack cleaning
for
is
trash
more
racks?
Issue there than
for
the screens. It's the VSBSs are an issue, but, well, or unless you're talking about the channel.
Well, they're having all kinds of debris problems.
Breaking
seems like
brushes.
There's something going on there.
There is a lot of debris. More debris.
No, we didn't talk about it.
Get rid of all these IPS. Tom. Mm-hmm. I just said, you were
hey,
all
Bill Zach.
Right? You were right. You were right back in the early 90s. You were right.
It
takes 20 years.
Yeah, no. It's
what's that?
Finally getting there.
20 years cycle.
At some point, you run.
Start taking little bypasses out of you.
Is there right now? Yeah, I don't know. When do we pull screens at McNary due to debris?
We haven't.
No. But what we have had is some serious problems with debris on the trash racks.
Right.
And I think, the future is going to hold some real challenges for us at McNary Dam. Those units are going to be rehabbed. Where we go with that rehab and what that ending volume for those units is going to be will be an issue. And that is going to be, if the volumes are higher, that leads to gate wall issues, leads to trash rack issues, all those issues that come with higher flows. And we're already having some problems.
We tried that once when we went to the higher flow with the new, and we tried the new screen system and asked if we could get it to work. So.
And the closure gate issue is another one that's kind of weird.
So what's currently different about McNary from Bonneville that you don't have to pull the screens at McNary, but you have to pull them at Bonneville? Is it the debris? Is it the flow? Is it the size of the screens?
We don't get the debris.
It's type of debris, too.
Well, also
we don't get the head loss issues on those VBSs that we know of.
They're not fry criteria, for one. So you get flow through. You can manage more debris on the screen without. Yeah.
Taking off, Rick?
Yeah.
I have a Merry Christmas.
So was McNary there maybe?
See ya.
So
next time.
Adhere to the criteria. But
yeah, you know, McNary was trying to do some, you know, they had the traveling VBSs that
they did for a while.
And those were problematic because they broke. And
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we're having some significant problems in the VBSs.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen.
One thing you're allowed, though, they can clean differently at the
McNary. Well, two, you've got a gate well that's. Well, you got an 80 foot head dam. You're still only running 12.2 maximum KCFS through those units, and so
and
the energy dissipation in that gate well is lower than it is at Bonneville running 17 through a 50 foot head dam. So, you know, I don't know the VBSs are supposedly balanced, but I think there's some issues there where you have less of an issue at McNary than at Bonneville.
Well, it's easier to get hot spots at Bonneville than it is.
Yeah. But McNary can have problems, and it's going to have problems when they get in this closure gate issue.
We see that during the summer when you get the mill flow on that.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring it up is I think there's something broken, or one of the cranes, or something.
One of the gantries up there. Ann, are you on the phone?
Yes.
So what's the status of McNary's raking system for the main units? Is there anything broken there? Trash rake, gantry issues, something?
The trash rake is being... The existing is being overhauled, and it will be downrated from what its previous use was. The long term is that probably about a year out, it will be replaced with an upgraded system able to handle loads comparable to what it used to rake. Right now, we're probably looking at three times the effort to get a similar amount of debris off the trash racks for FY12.
Awesome. When's that going to be back functional? Because I have a change form going in to talk about doing an early season rake, so we don't have what happened last year where we had a bunch of debris on the rake in like January, February, and they cleaned it off and found they killed a bunch of dead lamprey, juvenile lamprey.
Right. We will have to check on that because the last update we had was sometime late December, early January, and we have been pushing that same issue out to the project. The OPM, Dave Coleman, is aware of that, and so because they are aware of it and they have been somewhat aggressive, they've changed from their guillotine, which they're currently using and had plans to use indefinitely, to fixing what was broken, rehabbing it, if you will, so that they would be able to rake it just at a reduced quantity so that it was going to require more labor. So we'll get back to you on when that when that comes off, or a scheduled date when it should be available.
Yeah. So I was going to put together a change form for making sure that we actually do at least an inspection, if not a raking, early season, just to make sure we know the problem with it last year.
Skippy. But because of the three times more work to get the screens clean, we barely keep up with the old speed.
Exactly. We're going to have issues with.
So that's why I'm bringing up is we may need a criteria where we remove screens because we can only clean so many of them at McNary this year.
Okay, so it's the same.
Well, but the issue may not be the STSs or the screens. It may be you're getting such drawdown on your trash racks. I don't know.
Is it a VBS or is it a trash rack?
I don't know. Is it a VBS issue usually at McNary, Ann, or is it more of a drawdown on the main unit?
Well, they clean the VBSs pretty frequently at McNary.
And they can keep up with it?
Yeah, they make a very strong effort to keep up with it because it affects power production.
Right.
It's pretty high priority to keep the VBSs clean out there. As soon as they start looking like they're going to fall out of the criteria that they have in terms of the differential, they're usually trying to be a step ahead of it.
I think.
But, the other thing to be aware of is that McNary is hoping in the future to have the small, I won't call it a tugboat, but it's like an old logging boat that they use that they borrowed from Granite this year, and it is in the long term, which is several years out, probably they will have that so that they could lasso the big woody debris again and remove that more effectively.
Yeah, that's more the floating stuff. I still think the problems have been milfoil tumbleweeds that build up on the racks, and that'll be the issue to try to keep ahead.
Tumbleweeds are definitely an issue.
Yeah,
because they don't affect your head.
And that's why it was so critical to get the trash rake rehabbed rather than use the guillotine, where they just push it all to the bottom.
Right.
So,
right.
We just need to get an update on where they're at with that rehab and get back to you with when it'll be back in service.
Okay. Something else to talk about on the 12th.
Do you want that as a task group, or is it just going to be a topic?
I think that's just that's not a task group thing yet.
Are we moving on to change forms?
It's like that's where we are, and I haven't looked at any of them.
Has anyone looked at? Are we prepared to discuss them?
I can talk about the first one. I have a map repassing, but I'm probably the only one.
Clue us in. Whose form is it?
Not ours.
It's actually a remnant of the water management plan. It was it was added to the 2010 water management plan. I wish Dave Wills was here. He's the one who wanted it in there. Came up with this language, and in reviewing the draft of the 2012, it was recognized that it probably was more appropriate to be in the Fish Passage Plan rather than in the Water Management Plan. So I took it out verbatim, didn't make any changes from what Dave had put in there, and added it to the overview section as a new section 1.8.
It's nothing.
So as far as the content of it, it would be either Tom or Dave to speak to it.
Well, if you went to the Water Management Plan, it just talks about Lambert Passage, and it's basically just putting that, the idea that there's Lambert Passage concerns, putting the FPP in the overview section.
Yeah.
If you saw it in the Water Management Plan, you didn't have a problem with it, it hasn't changed since you cut and pasted.
Exactly. It's been in the Water Management Plan for the past 2 years, and just seems more appropriate in the Fish Passage Plan.
If we memorialize the screens going in later at McNary, is that an annual discussion still?
I don't know. Ask Gary. He was the one that was kind of like on the fence about it.
Well, I guess it's still...
It's under review.
Under review, I guess, you might say. Hasn't been finalized.
So we're considering it again for this year, another one-year review.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Produce some more papers.
Bob isn't gone yet, so I can't.
More argument.
Bob's still around the office.
I could write another fifth grade analysis.
And my third grade was still
back in the
favorite.
Is your third grade improved to fifth grade yet?
Mm-hmm. You've seen
you guys both graduated, though, so you've got a fourth grade and a sixth grade. So.
Yeah.
Well, so it's mine's a sixth and his is fourth, but they still haven't.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's actually a fifth grade analysis when it comes right down the average. Change form?
Is that required?
Change form?
Is it?
I don't know that it's... What does it say? We have to see what it says in the plan. I don't remember.
Yeah, I got to look.
If it just says do it, then there's no change form. I'd have to look at the change form.
I didn't know if we got to the do it page.
I have a feeling that it is in the Fish Passage Plan.
Okay.
Is it as an annual thing, though, or is it as a special
option? We'd have to look.
That's good to look. Cover where we stuff it. Well, I know it's
McNair. Is it McNair Special Ops?
Good.
I'm wondering if it's already in
the
Special Ops.
Right. We have the delay sticking the screens in.
It is in there.
Before the 14th.
Appendix A or the body,
It is the one that we have to update every year.
I don't remember. I don't know if it's in the special ops section or if it's in the clearing section.
Was it in?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's
so next meeting we'll have that clarified.
There you go.
Or
we'll at least have it clarified by the coming.
Yes.
I don't have a lot of change forms this week.
Hang in there, people. We're almost done.
So did we approve this first one?
The
it really causes no action.
Right. The water management.
The lab for it.
No, that one should be. Which one?
1.8,
the lamp. Lamprey.
14.1.
Put it in a different
section. 1.8. Four, okay.
Approved.
That one's done.
There's like no action.
Let's go to the window crowder.
We got one! I opened this and didn't look at it.
Window crowder, 14.2.
We're just proposing this basically the same language that Bonneville has for the crowder operation at the gas station.
You say broader operation tucking?
Because we're
with the distance from window, or what do you said broader operation?
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah.
You said crowder.
Crowder operation.
Oh, I thought you said broader.
Okay. Fudge in your ears or something.
Chocolate.
Marshmallows.
Crowder assumes.
Yeah, the language isn't, it's not standard among the three projects.
What's the change? The change is on lighting?
Oh, hell, I don't even remember what the change is anymore now.
I believe that Bonneville says that when you're not counting, the crowder has to be.
It has to be open, the lights can be shut off. And that's what I see here. You're asking to shut the lights off because the lights aren't natural. The night?
No, our lights
are in here. Yes,
it says leaving crowder lights on is not natural lighting conditions. May create negative conditions for lamprey.
So accept the count light.
So we left on only if there's documentation
off
and benefit.
Overnight.
Turn off the light at night.
Yes.
Turn your lights
that's
off and go out.
Fine.
We leave the lights on because we're videotaping it.
Right. You have to.
So they may not need that.
Well, ours was saying to leave them on all night.
So turn it off if you don't need it.
Okay.
Approved.
Approved.
If not video counting, turn off lights.
But that's all it has to do with. It doesn't have to do with changing the crowder, leaving it where it was, and being lazy or anything like that. That's why you wouldn't be doing that anyway. That'd be the count crew would probably want that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the next one. Yeah. PDS dewatering. Primary dewatering structure.
I suggest you just remove that whole thing.
Yeah.
That is the most ridiculous dewatering I have ever heard.
We have plenty of circumstantial evidence that there is no problem there with the adult
founding
or deteriorating while...
This is yours.
In fact, the incidental evidence suggests that the fish don't hold there very long. They
I remember Tom Moore was fighting for this hard, very hard.
Well,
years
I'm saying
when
we use water, we have some lots of fish in there. The question well, was
a young biologist.
That's really the question. Did we ever get?
Right.
Did we ever? We had like two radiotech fish in there.
That's yeah, but we have incidental evidence when we dewater, we don't find numerous fish there, and plus the condition of the fish is good, and if we had mortalities occurring, they would be visible at the separator downstream, you know, which we monitor. We obviously don't monitor the live fish, we don't know what adult fish that is. Their condition is somewhat questionable, so we don't know that, I admit. But if we had mortalities, they usually end up sitting on the separator and they need to be removed. We don't find that.
Then there is a counter at the separator too, right? I mean, you don't know what
right.
it is that triggers it, but
right.
you know it's
but the dead
a
fish usually don't pass. They usually get stuck, so they usually removed manually. So that way we have pretty good feel that we don't have many of those. Had we had any many, we would be aware.
But we managed to stress a few hundred fish or so with this dewatering. It was.
I mean, there's always 100 plus fish in there when we dewater. We haven't had to do this mid-season dewatering for 5 years. This was the first year in five.
Right.
So it's not a big deal. We've just not done it because the water's been too high.
Yes.
But, you know, is it better to move them out of there? I think there's just a buildup and a kind of turnover in there.
Yeah.
There's always fish in there. Yeah. You can go up there anytime you see fish in there.
Yeah.
But when we do water, there's usually a like number.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like, you know, they accumulate to some number and then others move out, I think. That's what
Well, that's the question.
How long are they holding? We don't know.
And that was the whole question. That's what we're going to do. Anyway. Can we figure that out? No one's been able to
Doing it. We'll have to wait until the restart of the adult tagging study again, which is pending. I think it has been delayed again. But hopefully, if they put antennas there and they will be monitoring the adult passage anyway, we should be able to get a little bit more information. I don't know how many years will it take.
You know,
I don't know. They failed to show that there were adult fish holding in the north bladder, no, south bladder, at John Day back when we were doing the radio tag studies in the late 90s, early.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we know there were a lot of fish holding in there, so it's like, you take such a low percentage of fish that you don't see these kind of activations, unless for some reason tag fish hold in there at higher rates.
But anyway,
so I don't know, the RT study is not going to tell us much about this. I would say use a DID center or something like that right there.
The problem down to what the DID center is, it tells you there's fish there and you don't know how long you
can. You don't know. No, you just know that it's...
It's really the question. There's,
well, and that's the same thing as what was going on at John Day South, was that those fish were... A lot of fish there, but it wasn't the same fish. Moving through.
Well, that was the whole question. If we feel that's the case, then yeah, you're probably fine. Don't need the water.
But same as that John Day South case, those fish were overwintering there. There was no problem with them. Now we know because
they
after we remodeled the exit section, they don't hold there anymore.
Well, we built
the problem has section. Disappeared.
We built that south.
Yeah.
South model.
Yeah.
And why we didn't put a contact detector in there, I just worked for myself on that. Yeah. Hey, rebuild the whole thing. Should we put a detector in here?
Yeah.
Why would you ever need that for?
Well, that was a little bit early in the technology, though.
Wasn't that early?
The north is a different story. We just did the north. We also didn't.
No, the south would have been easy.
It came up. It came up. And
I brought it up, and we're going, it's kind of late. What do we do? We really need it. And
the big mod.
We'll modify it later.
So this change form, is it a go or no go?
What do you think?
I have no idea. I don't know the system that well.
It's basically like you have fish holding in the juvenile facility that are falling back.
Right.
I mean,
there's a couple hundred. Do you think they stay long? If they don't stay long, then you don't even worry about it. That's the
real question. Is it worth stressing them, though? Because you're dewatering them, and then you're pushing them through a tiny little hole.
Or you could have them.
And we killed lamprey. So is it worth the dead lamprey to do this, really?
Nice twist.
Play that one right out.
Yeah,
nice try there, Squirt. Let's try their fedora lamprey. I'm not that big. I'm just going to look. If people don't think there's a big issue of holding 225 fish or in 72 degree water for a long period of time, not a problem. But my point is, I don't think we've seen anything to really show there's a big mortality issue with it. And I just don't know how long they stay. I mean, it's one of those risk things.
I know.
What's the bigger risk operation than risk to booting them out or risk to having some fish stay for a long period of time?
But if you're concerned about them holding in high temperatures, we're not pushing them out when temperatures are high. We're only doing it when temperatures are low. So
well, you can't push them out at 70 because then you're too worried about that. So that's why you do it before 70, so you hopefully push them out so they don't stay there when it gets high. That was the whole thought of the process.
New fish would be coming in all the time.
So
well, you're hoping that they're only there for a short period of time.
You would have to do it regularly.
I'm fine with dropping down. The RT guys will have to take a look at
it. Okay, let's vote.
Oh, wait, Rick, what do you have to say?
Did we investigate ways of herding them out of there without you on?
That was the talk, trying to get a crowder, but it was like the channel changed.
Something less than a crowder would be something you could deploy and gradually let it, you know,
well, that
kind of channel.
Dave Strapper
has left the conference.
A very simple crowder. It's kind of would just slowly
like a plug on a fishing pole with no hooks and make it a little larger with some mylar or something.
Greg up with
can you imagine
a plug.
Is it staying or not?
Can you imagine the press if somebody got a picture of that?
Fish in the juvenile.
All right, I say take it out. I approve this form.
Anybody it's approved by Bern.
Well, anybody want to...
Most interesting man in the room.
Want to go... What's that? Yeah, I'm the most interesting.
The most interesting man in the room.
That's right. I am.
His game changer.
DeSecchi's my friend.
Stay thirsty.
Stay thirsty.
I'm fine with it. I mean, we just have to say anything. I would say, though, when the RT comes out, we definitely put antenna there and just check.
All right, done.
Thank you.
That's not a thank you yet. If we find out fish data for a long time, you'll be expecting
it comes right back.
If there's an issue, then that's exactly fine. But if we don't think there's an issue, I think that's terribly stressful.
It has been approved.
Oh, yeah, yes. So keeping them in a month, 72 degree water and goofy little spot there. That's
stop whining.
No, it's a problem.
Tim, you just don't know when to be happy with your success, do you?
I am happy with it, and you just keep talking.
Zip it.
And you keep responding.
That's the last word.
Zip it. Got to get that last word.
She does.
We'll go on the rest of the episode. We'll all be gone. No, trading shots back and forth.
You're wrong. No, you're wrong.
Okay, let's go to the next one. RSW Ops Maintenance Procedures.
Where'd
Bill go? Bill. Is he under the table?
No, he left. He said he'd be back.
Stretching out his back?
That might come up for his project. He came back and left.
Can you speak to this for him?
Sure.
Or Trevor?
Trevor,
he could be the man.
Trevor, help me out.
Somebody described it. We read it. This is actual operations that they need to establish for. We talked about this with Tim back in about April of this past year. We needed an operation manual for the T. Or the RSW at Lower Monumental.
Wasn't this to basically add an upper end for flood control of when you pull the RSW out? Yeah, when you drop it into basically the stowed position. That's what I'm reading here.
That was one of the missing triggers.
Yeah, you didn't have an upper end. Yeah, I'm fine with this.
Yeah. Is this similar to ice or granite?
Granite would be the one, because ice has a higher capacity.
Oh. Yeah, it's a little different.
Ice is 10 bays instead of 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ice harbor question. Granted, can you even stow the damn thing?
Ice is 10.
They have 10 bays, so they can.
Yeah, they do have 10 bays.
So they have a lush capacity.
So that's huge. Oh, yeah. The spillway capacity. Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, well, this one.
Didn't think the RSW had any. Yeah, sure.
If you remember right, I think in September we also had another problem with this RSW. Well, actually, before the end of the spill season. But, you know, Tom, you asked, are you going to get it done this winter month or pretty soon or whatnot? And I said, they're going to be working on it now.
Is that the hoist to be able to shut it?
See.
Greg, is that the hoist to be able to shut it?
Greg, are you talking about the hoist to shut it? Greg?
I couldn't tell you for sure. This is Lower Monumental Dam, remember. I think that section, if you look at that H, what we're going to be changing it to, how we're actually going to operate and inspect the RSW at the end of the fish passage season.
So that's the only new thing here, is H, right?
That section looks like that.
H, 1, 2...
It looks like from, you can see where it says to change it to this 2012 FPP proposed change.
Right. The first through four.
Next time, bullet.
Are basically the same, but from that H on.
H on is new.
Right.
And it's September 1 through April 1, so it's outside the fish passage season.
Mm hmm. This is the work that they like to look at doing at that time of the year.
We're reading through it, Greg.
Yeah.
Has Bill talked to you about this stuff yet? Yeah?
Bill, no. The project chief did, operations chief.
Bill Hivlin.
You haven't run a pass.
Oh, Bill Hivlin? No, not a word.
Okay, we're going to have Hivlin review it and get back. Nobody's really ready to comment, but I think it is the inspection when you go to redeploy because of the loose bolts.
I don't think this is an issue.
Well, the only thing is number four. Loss of transition plates or seals. The loss of transition plates or seals will render the RSW out of service until repaired. The level of inspection will initialize it. So, I mean, if you do this and say you lose the plates mid-season, the question is, you're going to probably see a little higher level of mortality, but is that going to be worse than
Well, it says September 1 through April 1.
You won't know in season if you lost the plate. You only know when the inspector's
going. Yeah, but right. The question is, like, if you see that, you can't get it done in time.
Yeah, I'm having, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm not understanding.
I wouldn't make this an automatic, like, oh, well, they're out. We got to stop. We will never use it. It's like, no, we'll have to go through and coordinate.
This would be, instead of saying that it renders it out of service until repaired, I would say it would initiate repair immediately.
Initiate repairs, and it initiates coordinate
by April 1.
It is out of service. You're not going to put it back in service with plates.
Well, it's definitely going to be coordinated when they get back to working on this thing and get notifications.
You're going to know that on September 1 or thereabouts, and you'll have it fixed by April 1.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say is if it's that. Okay, would you use this in the winter? That would be the issue.
Kelt.
The only reason would be if you ever had debris or if you ever talk about kelt or fallback issue. And at that point, plates aren't going to make a damn bit if it's for adults.
No.
So I would just say, I wouldn't say it automatically renders out of service. I would say you coordinate if it needs to be put in service.
Well, get her done.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Get her fixed.
I would say it's not an automatic in my mind. If there's a necessity need for it, you can coordinate these.
Yeah, because this is really covering the period when the system isn't running anyway. So,
should be, yeah.
And we really don't want something that, I mean, obviously,
we don't want something limping in service.
Right, but you guys are going to know if there's transition plates missing probably on September 2.
Yep.
As soon as you walk out and look down there and go, oops.
Yeah, I just don't want to have something like, still like, oh, plates are gone, we can never use this again until it's fixed. It's like,
but, you know, what if that happens mid-season?
Well, you're probably not going to know because you're not going to have a dive inspection to be able to check them out.
So it starts vibrating.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think he was... You know, don't quote me as 100%, but you know, this is maybe something that, just in case they do find out, or they do know that there's a problem mid-season,
that belongs
or the beginning of season.
That belongs then in the April 1 through December 15th? Well, anyway.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out. So you got this overlap.
Yeah, that it should be September, actually, 1, unless you're using it for adult passage.
Yeah, you got an overlap period there.
Are you going to let us do that? Okay. Then that's there shouldn't be any overlap there, and that issue, Greg, that you're talking about in season should be an add-on to the 1-4 under 3212.
You find Bill or two?
No, I can't find him.
He ran away.
Nobody knows.
So
3212, whatever the heck it is, G.
3212.
It's the one above that, and that's the in season part of your
advice. Right.
So if you want to add something there that covers discovery of transition plates that have been lost, then you probably should add it there. And then I would vet that with the region as to whether there has to be a decision as whether you want.
You're basically taking a risk assessment. Like, is it?
Yeah, it's riskier to leave it running or to yank it out and shut it off.
Right.
I mean, you might have fun going, oh my god, this is so bad. We won't.
Fisher flying.
You know, we ran Ice Harbor 2 years without transition plates. Yeah, we saw a slight decrease in survival, but
could be worse. But
if that's somebody who's getting FPP, I mean, can't you just bring that up as like, hey, we got this issue right now?
I would see coordinate. If you see transition plates are gone,
I mean, that's kind of an odd situation.
Well, they would coordinate it.
Well, exactly. You could add an emergency thing there that, like Scott says, if the thing's shooting a rooster tail into the tail race, you're probably going to want to shut her down.
Well, they're going to coordinate with us anyway. They're going to say, hey, this is totally gone. We'd initiate a conference call with FPOM and talk about
it. We're hoping this is not a normal procedure to use here.
This is the emergency cross.
Okay.
Well, they're going to check Ice Harbor again to see how they held up this last year anyway. So
number 4, that last paragraph then.
I would make some mods to that.
Okay. Suggestion.
I would say we'll render, I would just cut out the, our seals will render the artifact out of service until repaired. I would say we'll
initiate a repair.
We'll initiate repairs and require coordination before RSW is operated.
Oh, if that's that simple, I mean.
Yeah, it's just the idea here is that it.
Yeah, I guess maybe the wording is a little bit.
You don't want to just, we wouldn't want the system to be just taken out of service.
Nothing is ever
in a ladder way.
We have to leave gray.
Not especially off season, because this implies that sometime before or around April 1, you're not going to be ready.
Yeah.
And that, you should know by early September.
Oh, long before April 1,
That you have a problem, and then you should have had that fixed by April 1, so I don't see why it would be out of service. Unless we're going to provide passage for Kelts.
Yeah, that's why I don't want.
That's up to Scott.
I don't want to negate that ever.
Okay.
Be the operation. Or say you have a big debris like we did this year at McNair. Say you get a big wood debris mat down there. If you got a couple places missing that stuff, for an hour or two, let's just run the RSW.
You go ahead
and bring it out and we'll take care of it.
Unless it was a really bad situation.
So, Greg, could you rewrite it and send it back out?
Well, yeah, I can rewrite it, but I'm still trying to capture what they're trying to say. It's just that we'll initiate repair, what, before the 1st of April? Or, paragraph 4.
You'll have it completed.
Yeah, you don't want to initiate then.
No. No, it's just that you will have, if you find something, I don't even know if you need to have this in there or not, but...
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you can almost throw that whole number 4 out. Just make sure.
Well, that's what I was.
Make sure that if they see a problem, you fix it. But that's normal. You're going to do it anyway.
Okay. All right, I'll look and remove
it. I don't think
4.
You need it there, but I think maybe you do want it in the in season section.
You know what
your
you could do?
Language.
You could just cut everything out, but you go lost residue plates or seals. Lost residue plates or seals will initiate coordination as listed above for necessary actions or something like that.
Do they check every year? They're part of the standard checklist?
I believe they do now.
Maintenance.
Greg, you guys are checking your transition plates every year now, aren't you?
Because of what's happened in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're looking at ice.
And that's what this one's pointing out to.
Low what? We're on low volume.
And Goose doesn't have
transition
plates.
No, it doesn't.
Language in season, out of season.
Low mo.
Low-mo transition plates.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
Well,
I'll just say initiate coordination repairs needed.
Yeah. I just leave that.
Coordination
repairs
on what? Well, it's if they're finding
transition
problems. Off-season that they would initiate. What they're saying.
We already went through all that.
But if it's off-season, we're going to go ahead and fix it.
Right.
Exactly.
Here it says it would be taken out of service. This is from September 1 through
there go.
So. What?
Better go.
Everybody left.
Jeez, man, Joseph.
I love that.
Not as hard.
Yeah, that's why I get her away.
I'm feeling kind of weird. There's only three core people. As long as we're dominating.
It's your project. They didn't want to get lumps in their head for me.
Well, they're going to fix the plates. I mean, they've got to do it.
All we're doing is we're like on number 4. We're just saying like just because the plates. Because say once you found the plates were out during mid-season, would you shut off the RSW? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
No. Why?
Well, exactly. That's the point. So we're just like we're not making it. So it's if plates are gone, we're shutting off the RSW. It's like no.
Okay. Well. Yeah. If the plates decide to fly mid-season.
Yeah, unless you see a huge rooster tail shoot up or something like that, that might...
Partly gone.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was just like, why don't you shoot us some language on 4, and we can approve this next time.
Yeah.
Okay. You will definitely. Yeah, I wasn't really prepared to get this one today. I thought we were just going to do other things.
I really thought we already did that last year.
Well, we had to add a little bit to it.
Okay.
Well, they approved it.
This was the final.
At 260 and going to 300, then you start looking at stowing out the lower weight of the R. So that's what they add, and now they're adding 2 dots to make it bigger.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other part of the criteria I thought we had to work out was how to get it back in when you put it back up.
Yeah, I don't see that in there. It doesn't say like when does at what level of flows you try
to talk to about when predicted level.
When's flow low enough where you can actually get the fall back up?
Yeah,
where you can shut off a spill bay flowing to install it.
Right.
So, Greg, you need to add that. When do you reinstall?
Or just use the current? I mean, is there a current?
We're talking about reinstall at high flows and dropping down to low flows or something like that.
Yeah, when after you hit your peak and you start it, once you've had to remove it and store it. At what point do you try to reinitiate the installation? Do
you I got you.
260 predicted to go down 200.
Right, or does the spillway
200 to 150
completely off to actually do it for an hour? I mean, there was something that we didn't know what had to
happen. Yeah, we just need to see like hydraulically what is.
Just go back and look at the minutes from.
And that's going to be your hydraulic boys. You're going to
June. June, I think. Review the June minutes or the May minutes when Tim was still here talking about this.
What, a year ago?
Tim was here to the June minutes. That's about it.
I think his June was his last F-bomb.
Sure
what's
that?
Yeah.
Sure disappeared.
You know where he is, don't you?
I know where he is.
He's the old Oka boy. That's what I'm working with. We're trying to get more money into O&M.
Word from him since.
I'll talk to you afterwards to see if
you...
Well,
you should see him. He dropped like 35 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite shocking.
It just reduces your treasury payments. We're here to help.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
You want to do VBS?
VBS inspection guidelines at Goose.
Yeah, at Goose. You can see his reasoning for it.
He wrote good.
George Mellinson.
Oh, George.
Yeah, he's the project biologist there.
Did he hire
that project for a long time? But this is what he has run into and wants to replace, repair, and inspect. And his reasoning.
So I'm just trying to figure out, do you highlight what he changed?
What he, the section where it says proposed change, the stuff in red is what he wants to put into it.
Okay, so it's like 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, because we have black and white, we don't have color.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay, sections 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 is new.
Some of us don't have color printers, we're not allowed to print in color at our office.
See no color.
For the tribes.
I know. Great. I know.
Everything's pink.
Yeah. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 are brand new words for his. He's not lacking or slacking off, not monitoring the ESBS. He is doing it in a way that's a lot more compatible with the system that they have there.
Compatibility.
How does this number 7, the head differential, differ from what's in the fish passage plan now? Greg?
I wouldn't think it'd be too much different than what it is.
Yeah. I think the head differential...
That one hasn't changed.
Head differential
has
not changed.
No.
Thank you, Les.
7,
yeah.
11. So what they did is they added 4, 5, 6, 7 are added, and then bumped
yes.
everything else that was there down farther.
But 8 is missing.
8's the same?
No, 8 is missing.
8 has not been changed. 9, 10, 11, 12 are not changed. It's just they got renumbered.
Yeah, so 8 used to be number 4.
Right. They got this 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that's stuffed in there.
Yeah, they basically bumped everything.
So,
4
is
now 8.
But, so yeah. In the original one, number 8 isn't in the new one. That's what I'm saying. It looks like it was deleted. It's the second to last one.
Inspect at least 2 VBSs.
So future note, Greg, all coordination forms have to be in track changes when they're submitted so people
track
can track it.
Yeah.
It's just hard. I mean, this flipping back and forth. And
yeah, I see the reason for that when you have it in black and white, but color is what really, it does make a difference.
And then, Greg, the one question so Jennifer was quick to catch this. Inspect at least 2 VBSs and 2 different turbines between spring and summer migration periods. Both turbine units should have been operated frequently during the spring. If debris commissions noted, inspect other VBSs and clean debris. I'm sorry. You're doing away with that because you feel the other stuff is going to be more.
Lisa, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, say that last part of your sentence.
Oh, never mind. No, it's still there.
Yeah, it's there. I mean,
8 is now number 7.
Wow, it got bumped.
Yeah.
But it's in red, so is it different?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to flip back and forth and hope to.
All right, time out. Greg, you're going to have to rewrite this and check track changes and send it.
Okay, well.
At this hour, with not any lunch in our stomachs and...
Right. No problem. I didn't expect to hit these things until the 20th anyway.
And I have more time to do a side screen.
Please have your comments then.
No, I think
not
it's going to
get a rewrite.
I just need time to do a side-by-side comparison with the color screen.
I've got some high classified
high level
notes on
Tom is a jackass.
Tom's a jackass.
High level.
You start every meeting with that.
I know.
Sanskrit or something like that.
Okay, so what do we have
what's
left?
What's this Dorshak?
Dorshak dewatering guidelines.
Is this something new, Greg?
Is this the very final?
This is the very final.
It's
not in here.
It's not included because you guys were working on that separately, but it is a change, so it's under our change.
Okay.
We just don't have
this
it
is
yet.
Not something new okay. that I haven't seen.
It's the housekeeping. Make sure it's in the plan.
Yeah, okay.
All right, good.
Hey, and the other question is, what happened to all the other change forms?
What other change forms?
A ton of them. Didn't you get them, Lisa and or Tammy?
Not all of them were included in the agenda this time.
Right. So we're going to include them all in the 20th of January meeting?
They will be in the January FPOM meeting agenda so people can hear.
So I'd have to have the biologist there at the first of the January meeting, right?
No, they absolutely need to be at the 20th. But
okay, the 20th.
Just not sent out to the region yet. They will be posted to the website. Lisa was waiting to get her permission.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought even these would have been, too. So.
Let's go over the calendar right now. All change forms are due by the 15th of December, which is coming up next Thursday. FPOM is the 12th of January, and right after that's going to be the task group meeting for the VBS. And then the 20th is the all-day FPP change form meeting here. Wall be in the morning. And we'll be in the afternoon from Portland.
Awesome.
Hey, and then there's an ERDC trip for spill patterns. Is that still on?
That was the question.
I think that's off.
That's off, from what I understand, from John, Bailey, and Bill.
Why didn't we do a damn thing? Everything's peachy at Lamar.
I know.
Everything's peachy.
I'm not sure everybody's bought off on that.
I haven't. And we need, the one thing we need to talk about is Granite at some level. Like, are we going to look at Granite? Even though I have some information, I'll talk about
it. We need the model worked on it for Granite. The Granite current model, I think everybody decided it was crap. Regardless.
Yeah, well, that's the question that we need to come up with. Is there another way to verify that?
But, well, I think Ryan is supposed to be having a do out from the last Spitterweight back to you guys, because wasn't he going to try to do something out at the projects in terms of data collection to try to enhance
at
knowledge?
At Mo or at Granite?
Well, maybe it is just at Lomo.
I think Granite, they
pretty much felt Granite fell off the table with their discussion in terms of the adequacy of the model.
And then Lynn Reese was talking about, do we figure out what the worst case scenario is, actually set the project up for that, and then come up with some way to verify that whether Granite, that's acceptable or not. That was the question we had at Granite.
Or we just decided to scrap it and build it.
Well, that wasn't the thing.
I mean, didn't we rank it in SCT? I thought we ranked that already. I think we did.
Well, but this was just the model, and then this was the idea, was like, just go out and operate the project under a worst case scenario for this next year if we have to go to a more aggressive mop operation.
I think what Greg relayed is what we were told by Ryan after Fitterwig, that that trip was off. So I guess.
Well, that was a trip for Mo, and then everyone said we can't use the Granite model. So the question is, can we actually use the Granite full scale, i.e., the project, and use it and basically operate in the worst case scenario?
It doesn't make any sense to me that you can't use the Granite model.
The actual thing in the stream, huh?
Yeah, use the thing that's actually in concrete.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing. I do need to send an email to Derek and say if they can at least go back and provide us the model notes from when they did the original spill patterns.
I can see if things fall.
Try.
Yeah.
Tammy, you always got to give it your best shot.
Unless it's warm enough on the inside. I was just looking
at one of the
Bill.
Who's got the
do-out
on that one?
Lomo. So Ryan needs to get it back to us on the Lomo, and then the other thing is, Granite, what is our plan for making everybody comfortable with operating Granite at MOP plus 2 or maybe 3, if that even comes to fruition? And I would ask, because at the Fitterwig meeting we talked about, is there a way to use the actual dam to verify that MOP plus 3 is an acceptable spill pattern?
Yeah.
The problem.
Yeah, we were going to go out and look at
Well, what do you want to, how else would you do it, Gary?
Well, just doing it with, like I said, I think I suggested taking the BPA helicopter up because being able to see
exactly
what you're looking at out there is going to be very difficult for the bank.
Unless you're using a dye.
You could use
like
a dye like we did at the Dalles 20 years ago.
But don't you think, though, if the white water looks pretty much the same, which I think it probably will, wouldn't that be enough?
That's an indicator.
It's an indicator. It gives you a level of comfort.
We're only talking about, you know, raising that.
You get an extra 1,000.
Spill. 2,000.
Well, it's from MOP plus 1 to MOP plus 3.
Three is a 2K.
Yeah. We're already looking at MOP plus 2. So
I think your TSW is going to look just fine. That flow is going to go screaming downstream as the side flows.
Yeah. Well, I would actually, the only thing I'd be worried about. Well, Gary, I'd actually be worried about the RSW doing this in the back end because if you don't have enough.
You're not
going to
catch that either.
That's my point.
That's the hard part.
That's why you throw the dot. That's why I throw the dye.
Yeah. If you could throw the dye in, if you could use dye in the river, or if you can get up on a, like you said, you know, the helicopter or something, we really could get a good
look.
It's
not out of the question. We still have a lot of pilots right now, but if I have a far enough available.
Do you need one? I can get you a pilot.
If you can get if you can get Bill up there in Eagle Eye View, I think that would be.
You sure they would look at it?
That'd be the way to do it.
Yeah.
Are you kicked out of here?
I watched 1:00.
What time's the meeting?
What meeting are you trying to?
What meeting?
Oh, I thought this was a training.
Yeah, is that what time is that?
The Google
training?
I think
it's in the Columbia room, Stephanie. I'm supposed to be there, too.
You want to watch the Ray video here? I think it's a fishtail or something.
Oh, really? Oh, you got it already?
What?
That's no.
Hey, it looks like a leaf.
Well,
it
looks like a leaf.
He's dead. You actually see it.
There's no movement.
It's like a wings severed fish tail to me.
Yeah, that's not good.
Big surgeon. Big surgeon.
Okay, pretty pictures. Are we done?
Yeah.
So did you see that, Ray?
I do have a...
Is that it, Tammy?
An add-on.
That's an add-on
at 1 o'clock?
I do.
Can you send that to me, Tammy?
I do, and
I'll
it's Scott might want
to
listen.
Okay.
Do I need to listen?
Bonneville. No.
No.
Oh, okay. Shite. You're
thanks for calling, guys.
Yeah. That's on my
big to-do list.
We need
has
to come up with a plan for Bonneville operation for Celts in 2000.
Has left the conference.
Yeah, we need to figure out for 12. So what are we going to do with powerhouses? How are we going to monitor that? Does Rick's crew have adequate facilities and observational capabilities for criteria for? And what criteria are we going to use? If we start out with powerhouse, we have priority.
If you're not using, if you're splitting powerhouse, then you got to do something different.
Right.
Well, they never want to get to it.
What's that?
Yeah, you'll never get to it.
It depends. Also. If you really want to look at it, we have to have a grade 8. You're able to put all your first powerhouse and then the sluiceway out.
Let's not talk about it here, right? I agree.
But it's too tired. There's a whole sequence of it.
There is, and that's why I want to be sharp for this. So, sharper.
Sharper.
At some point, there's some base level.
Sure, right here, we still need to visit this.
We need to visit it, and that's all I want to do is just make sure
detail through January.
On the agenda for the January.
Christ, really?
It's on there. It's a potential change form. Doug and I talked about it.
And we also want to make sure that Rick has a chance. If we're going to use the folks out there to get an index or get a number of fish as a trigger that they have facilities and the machinery they need.
It sounds like they have a camera. Is it? Last year, first year that you were using a camera on the separator?
No, that camera on the separator has always been there. I think you're thinking about the one in the film.
But whatever, earlier we had a presentation by Derek Pryor.
Yeah, that's a
Jeff,
different thing.
Jeff, that's a side camera in the film. That hasn't been used for anything.
But he said he also gave one for their rack, so they can automatically go through and look at it.
Yeah, I think Dean did some... some count verification to see if the folks on the separator were missing things.
You guys,
and if they were getting an accurate count.
But that wasn't Jeff. That was Peter's.
No, it was Jeff.
Jeff Cameron.
He
loaned it.
He loaned us.
Right. He said that. The reason I bring it up is that changing how we are we seeing more fish now because
there's going to be the cloud
doing the survey.
I think there was a slight discrepancy on one of the shift personnel, but Dean brought it to his attention and straightened right out.
So. What concerns me is that we have a large number of unknowns. If we all agree that the unknowns are steelhead and we're done, that's fine. If we don't, they're getting video of those unknowns and then deciding what they were.
Sounds like we might have some things on the tape.
Yeah, I don't know. But that might be a way of verifying.
It could be.
And I don't know if he's going to leave it there either. You know, he's probably taking that camera. I mean, his
he may not be. I don't think he's using it for this experiment anymore. He gave presentation earlier. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Well, I just want to make sure they have what they need. That'd be a core responsibility, or actually his responsibility, to make sure they have video.
I'll talk to Dean.
Talk to Dean, make sure he's got what he needs.
If there's not the same question as to what the fish are, then maybe we're finding the tables. If we can get a glimpse of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Put them on an external.
Get a verification or an adjustment factor.
Whatever, exactly. And I just didn't want the number to be counting more because we have better technology.
That's
now
it's all based on past year's observations.
I mean, if you really wanted to enumerate every fish, you could create some kind of a holding pool below the separator bars. When they come off the end, you could pool water up there.
Yeah.
You could get your hands, not your hands on. Yeah. I didn't. Don't go there.
Well, I'd rather just say they're all steelhead and be done. Probably are.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be steelhead.
Unless there's a carp or shad or whatever.
Or
ray.
Shark.
Or ray white. So we need to sit down and figure out criteria for
help. So that's a task for the next meeting.
For the next F-bomb?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running split power hearts. And this year, we're going to be running split power hearts.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's still
BPA.
Yeah, I mean, if it goes low flow, you're fine.
So who's going to take the lead on this? Do you want me to...
I would just put on the agenda.
Put the word out.
Agenda, and everybody needs to understand that they need to come in with a position.
What group would we call it? We call the meeting to hack up the criteria.
I call it Kell Passage. Yeah.
Columbia Room.
Okay.
Columbia Room.
Wow, you just work here, too?
Columbia Room.
Thanks. It's got to be F-POM. Because, I mean, who else?
Okay.
Do you really want to take the CMT?
No,
I take nothing.
I don't care where it
anymore.
Goes. I just want to make sure
it's
we have a forum that we say this is the forum. This is why it's.
This is operations and maintenance. This is ops. So
I agree with you.
We'll raise it to REOG once we all
exactly.
disagree. But I don't know that we're going to get there. So.
We'll agree with it.
Disagree. I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to know is what we're going to be looking at kelp passive distribution. How much is that going? We're not going to know anything until
they get there.
It's going to have to be based on last year's operation.
Yes, I mean, we're going to be stuck with the two fish, 2 days, and 20 fish. And then the question is, if you're running just one powerhouse one, Columbia Room. Then it's one.
Columbia Room.
Do you want me to make a...
I think I'm just going to have you stand there the rest of the day.
Columbia Room!
We should put a note on the door.
Why is the name of this room?
Yeah, that's three people that have
come in. Yeah, hopefully that's right. And they're really,
So they're all up there now.
They're all going, no, we're the other one that's, what?
The instructor hasn't shown up, so.
Tight, cramped.
Yeah, there's another one, so.
Well, instructor's not down here, so.
What, you want another one?
No. You're not taking training, are you?
Yeah, training. No, she works here. She's
over
here.
You're over there.
She's here.
She's in the right place.
So no, I mean, it's like, this is going to come down to is if you have to do split flow, then we're going to have to figure out what the
that's the bigger
that's,
well, what we realized last year, people didn't get it, that it doesn't all fit through the first powerhouse some of the time.
Yeah. At what number of units do we need to start running the corner collector, and what's the criteria and numbers of fish pass? So, given that most of the fish are going to the first powerhouse.
Right.
So
now that we have the hoist on and off, you don't have to run it all the time, and there can be criteria for on and off, and
that's
part of the day. And
oh, gosh, you're going to go with the on-off criteria, too?
Who do you think I work for?
I know, but I'm just saying, like, holy Christ.
Tony will love to go there.
Oh, I know. Tony likes to go lots of places that I wish he would.
I'm just the messenger.
Yeah.
And we will kill the messenger.
Yes, you will. Darth will get it.
You can still fit out the window.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to sit on that one, I think.
That's all. Our meeting is...
So we're going to play the percentage game?
40% flow
goes
through.
All right. Down to the